This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
How about that? Oh, goodness gracious, the best show is back. Tuesdays, how about that? Tuesday night, 9 p.m. We're here for 3 hours. We've got an exciting show planned for you tonight. A lot of fun. Get ready to be thrilled, to be amazed. Live magic all night long. Card tricks. What Ricky Jay calls close magic. Could do a lot of that. Wait, card tricks don't work on the radio. Boo! No ideas. Staring at the wall. Nope! No staring at the wall. You kidding? A surplus of ideas lay in front of us all. So let's get it underway with something I like to call the theme song.
Jersey, back again. I'm
definitely sounded, Mike. Sounds good? Just good? Great, I like that. Mike's all fired up. His stash has been replenished. The Coors Light truck backed up. Got us, he's back on target. It's like the end of Smokey and the Bandit. It's like the thing when all the dudes showed up to the with the truck full of beer. Remember that scene? What a fun day that would have been at that park or wherever that was, whatever that was, with two guys, Big Enos and Little Enos, and then there's warm beer shows up. What a thrill, everyone. Please, by all means, we're going to put this beer on ice. By 9 o'clock tonight, it should be vaguely drinkable. Right now, it's been in the back of a tractor trailer for 2 days. So it's filthy. A tractor trailer that's been basically doing stunts also, too. So it's all shook up. Don't worry. You'll crack one open, it'll spray all over your nudie suit or whatever the people at that thing were wearing. Not a whole lot of nudie suits in Smokey and the Bandit. Big Enos and Little Enos wore nice outfits, matching outfits. The Bandit had a nice red shirt on. Snowman had, I believe, a denim vest. Did Jerry Reed wear a denim vest in that? Something like that. There's no way of finding out, so we might as well just let this argument fade into the distant horizon, like all arguments do. Guys, this is the best show. The phone number is 201-332-3484. Looks like the lines are stuffed already. How about that? Right now, I want to tell you about the music we heard. It all had one thing in common, everything we just heard. One thing, it had two things in common, because first of all, the one thing it had in common is all great. So it had all that in common. General excellence. But all of that music we heard is from a mixtape called Serious Rockers that a friend of the show and a friend of mine, Paul Bruno, who you might remember as the associate producer of Terry T's Cherry Blossom Clinic. He started a record label called Unblinking Ear. And all that music we heard tonight, all those great songs are from a mixtape called Serious Rockers. You go over to, he's got a Bandcamp page up. That's where all, it's all at unblinkingearrecords.bandcamp.com. And check all his stuff out. And I also, he's got something I will tell you about. Not that this is some sort of commercial for this guy. I'm just trying to, I'm looking after a guy doing the right thing. Starting a label, putting his money where his mouth is. He's got a live show coming up. Like a record release show. Where? Mike, get ready for this. Bayonne. How about that? It's in Bayonne. A place called Lot 13. On March 7th, Saturday, March 7th, there's an Unblinking Ear a record release show. And the Curbivores playing it, No Other, Sunshine in the Rain, Slang King, and Carolee. Lot 13, Bayonne, Saturday, March 7th. Check out the Unblinking Ear record release party. And what music did we hear? Well, guys, from that comp, Serious Rockers, we heard the last thing. We're going to go from most recent all the way back to the beginning. We heard I'm Ready. It's by the Lame Drivers. Great band. Always been a fan of them for a long time. They're on this comp. How about that? Before that, we heard Come On and Take a Ride by Sunshine in the Rain. That was outstanding. That was That's Justin and Ashley, who you might know from the Black Hollies, which is a band that one of my favorite bands. They've got a new band called Sunshine and the Rain. And that song was from this comp, Heavy Times, who I've played over the years. A Hozak recording artist, I believe, usually. They've got a song on here called Street Legal. And starting us off, Mike Pace and the Child Actors with a song called Everyone Out of the Car. And again, you go over to unblinkingearrecords.bandcamp.com. You check his stuff out. You pick that comp up. It's downloadable. You buy it on a cassette. And then you go see his show. If you're a Bayonne resident, you go to... what do you think about this, Mike? People, go see that show on March 7th, Saturday, March 7th, in Bayonne, Lot 13. Then they head over to Masses for a nightcap. Mike said it's very easy to get to Lot 13 via light rail. So that sounds like a plan. Now, does Masses have any sort of proprietary claim on the barf that they generate? Mike? No? Like, it's yours. You start horking all over the place after you spend a night at Masses. You are the owner of that barf. Masses is not like, doesn't have some sort of copyright on it or anything. No. All right. Just checking. Never know these days. Never know. Masses might turn into the next Apple, for all you know. Sir Lane claimed everything. Apple. What a horrible company. No offense to anybody I knew who works at Apple, but bad news, Jack. Wiped out me whole iTunes. Had to fight to get that thing back. Not cool, Apple. Not cool. So, guys, you may have read an exciting letter I put on my blog. First of all, who knew I had a blog? That was news to me. That was excitement enough. Apparently there's something called Sharpling.com that I'm in charge of. What? I did not know. Now I do know. Yeah, so I just wrote a thing basically just explaining where I'm at in terms of where my head is at with stuff. And I'm not going to reiterate all of it here, but it was, it's not been a super easy time for me. You know, my dad died at this point about 6 weeks ago, and it still just hangs over me. Hangs over me. Can't shake it sometimes. Waves, it's like shoving water in a closet is what it feels like. That's what the sadness feels like. You can't put it in there. Finds its way out. So it's pretty rough with that, and sometimes it's hard to do the show. So, a lot of stuff I'm pushing aside and down and away. Sometimes you can't just push everything away. That's something you kind of know in theory, but then when you're in practice, it's a little different. It's hard to just power through and do what you want to do. We do what we do. I now am going to pretty much approach things like if I need to take a week off, I'm going to take a week off. If I need to take more time off, I'm going to take more time off. I got stuff to figure out here. So I'm going to try to figure it out And sometimes it's hard to just do it in front of people, so I can't always be in front of people. Yeah. Just getting the show going has been pretty challenging. If I didn't have anything in my life, if it was smooth sailing with nothing else, this would have been hard enough. Would have been like walking a tightrope. But you know what? It's a lot. I got a lot on my head, and it makes it that much harder. So it's hard to do both at the same time, and you know, you try. I can only do what I can do, and part of me doing what I gotta do means checking out. Then I check out. So be it. I'm not perfect. I know I'm not perfect. I know that. Yeah. Also pretty sad. You know, Harris Whittles died. It's pretty sad. This guy was, I'm not going to pretend that I was Harris's all-time best friend. I hate when you look on social media and people are like, ramping up what their actual relationship to somebody. It's like, you know, you save those things because it counts more when you actually did have a relationship with somebody. But he's somebody I liked a lot. He's somebody I talked to. You know, over the years we'd text and email and talk on the phone sometimes. And I was on his podcast. He did a show called Analyze Fish, and it was really funny. And just nobody is supposed to die when they're 30. You're not supposed to die when you're 30. And he truly was a sweet guy. And he, you know what else? He really was a super duper. He was a super sarcastic guy. And was hilarious. And some of my favorite things to do were to talk to him. I don't know. How does this sound? About who sucks. Right? Is that terrible? Mike? No. This guy sucks. That guy sucks. This one's not funny. Who's that person think they are? That's who the guy was. And we talked about that stuff. And, So he was a lot of fun in a lot of different ways, and, he's somebody who, as time goes on, he will be missed more and more. He's that kind of person that as his absence grows, as time goes on, his absence is just gonna grow and grow. But yeah, I got that. I got, you know, it's been something else. Father died. Week later, my grandmother died. Then friend dies. Lot to juggle here, so we do what we can. And I do what I can. I'm not going to say we. I can only do what I can, because, you know, sometimes it goes, and then my head just hurts, and I can't. It's just too much to just stay on all the time. And I think I have a little bit of grieving to do. So when it's time to do it, I'm gonna do it. So, and it truly has nothing to do with anything. There was some discussion on Facebook about how people want more. I was asking what guests people want, and then people were saying, yeah, we want more women on the show. Like, yeah, I agree with that. I was just starting to book people, and I have not done any It would be exaggerating to say a toe was dipped in the water in terms of getting that started. So, but when this show is the show that I want it to be, when it's running the way it's going to be, I promise you that it's going to be the way everybody wants it to be in that regard, in terms of having some legitimate diversity and all that stuff. But it's going to be funny people is what I want to have, and there's plenty of funny women, and they need to be on here too, and funny dudes, and funny women who've been on the show, and funny guys who've been on 100 times, and funny guys who've never been on, and funny women who've never been on, and it's gonna be fun. Let me get it going. Please, take all the time you need. Take all the time you need. Why isn't the show perfect yet? Well, that's how it feels a little bit. But again, I respect everybody's opinion. Truly respect it from the bottom of my heart, and I do not take it lightly. I'm the one who asked who wanted people on the show. That's why I asked. So, I heard everything everybody said. I don't take it lightly, and it's not going to be taken lightly. Let me just get my feet set, and you will get the show. Everybody will get the show that they want. A funny show. It will be the best show. I promise you. But if I just walk away from it too, then I walk away from it. I'm letting myself go where I'm going to go with this. I'm not going to make any more promises with anything at all. If I want to stop, I'll walk out right now, never come back. Throw a yard sale. Get this equipment. Anybody want to buy a 16-channel board? Right? Mike, you want to buy one? Oh, just gonna, no, move. Mike's not, I could probably move it. All right. Take it easy, most violent year out there. We got these live shows coming up. They are going to be fun, too. I'm telling you. We got four shows, 2 nights at the Bell House. I think there might be a few tickets left for that fourth and final show. It's going to sell out. And when it's gone, it is gone. And I don't want to hear anybody say, I didn't get tickets to the show. Well, to be fair, though, if Andrew Dice Clay's wife, who that just was, does ask, I will put her on the list.
I didn't get to go to the show. I thought we would just go see the Christmas tree.
Where you want to go? I'll go to the tree. Rockefeller Center. Look at the tree.
I just want to see the lights.
Who is he modeling that on? Is there anyone who ever talked like that? He actually married. Did his wife actually go,
I just want to get.
If anything, it sounds like a bad old-timey comedian, like what's that guy? The sound Charlie Callis. Was he going out with Charlie? He was married to Charlie Callis. Could you imagine? Can you imagine how bad comedy was back then? Oh, who are we going to go see? Senor Wences. Really? Oh, wow. Okay. Oh, what does he do? Oh, he draws a face on his hand, and then he talks for 85 minutes. He has a conversation with his hand. Really? That's the comedy we're going to go see tonight? Guy with the thing on his hand. Well, who's playing tomorrow? Oh, it's Norm Crosby. Oh, what's he do? I mispronounce his words. Okay. Sounds great. I sure hope there are tickets available. What about, what else is coming up? Oh, Professor Irwin Corey. Oh, what's that? Oh, he just pretends he's smart. Okay, great. Wow, real cavalcade of stars lined up tonight at this theater. Who else? We have Charlie Callis. What's he do? Oh, he makes sounds. Just foot, foot. That's what you get from him. He just goes foot all night long. Who's good here, Mike? My idea of good? Or your troubled idea of good? My idea of good. All right. Best show, you're on the air.
Hey, Tom, this is Jefferson from Texas.
Jefferson from Texas. Well, how about that? It's a comet burning through the night sky.
Oh, don't pin any ribbons on me just yet, Tom.
Ribbons? Who said anything about ribbons?
See, I'm already on thin ice.
See, you're already flaming out, champ. You're already flaming out. No, you're all right. You're all right. What's up, Jefferson?
Before I got started in the goofy thing that I wanted to talk about, first I wanted to extend a very happy birthday to Terry T.
Well, that's very nice. She's here tonight.
Happy birthday, Terry. We're all big fans.
Well, that's nice, yeah. Hey, guys, are we doing the half-hour power tonight? Yes, we are. Okay. Guys, half-hour power. And I'm going to tell you right now, I want some exciting calls for that. I don't want people going,
hey, you guys had the topic going during the show that was the thing?
No, it's not an extension of the show. It's its own show.
Leisurely strolling through their stuff to bring to the table.
Exactly. So what's up? What's your thing you want to say here, Jefferson?
The second thing I wanted to say before the goofy thing is, we're all behind you, Tom. If the show goes on, or if you decide to bring out that crisp Sam Goody receipt that you've got.
We'll see.
The goofy thing I wanted to talk about is that I would like to formally submit the mutant that is Riff Raff for full Matsuflex status.
What? Oh, you've been thinking about it too much, buddy. Well, buddy, you thought about calling in too much.
I've gone down.
You thought about
really
calling in too much. You thought about it all week, didn't you? Yeah,
well,
you did.
Yeah.
Oh, Matsuflex, that barely tracks. That with Matsu, for people who don't remember. Oh, you guys remember, right? Tool Academy? Remember the show Tool Academy from 2006? Yeah. Oh, Jefferson.
I figured this would just be a soft reboot.
You know what this is like for you? You know what this look, buddy, I think the world of you. But you know what you did is you're like when they figured out Jeremy Lin could only dribble to his left.
The playbook. Close encounters. Crazy.
Yeah.
Really.
You did it to yourself, though. You looked at your own playbook and unmasked yourself. It's troubling.
I'm really preferring to think about it as self-actualization. Even though it's just going to make me sad.
Well, look, buddy, I think the world of you. I think the world. You're one of my favorite people on Earth. Top five at this point. Top five.
Oh, wow, man. Tom, that means a lot to me.
Well, it actually is more of an indictment about how things are going for me more than anything you've done. But I appreciate that you're in the top five.
It means slightly less to me now, but it still means a lot.
Oh, it's by you. You know what you need to do?
What's that?
You got some thing with Riff Raff. What were you going to say? Because this guy Riff Raff, who was the guy? Was he the guy who James Franco was modeling himself after?
The very same
for Spring Breakers. But like they won't admit that it's him, will they? Like
no. No. They're playing very coy with it for some reason.
It's like the NBA logo. They won't admit that that's Jerry West. Spring Breakers, they won't admit that that was Riff Raff.
And he's doing that thing where he's still riding that wave, but refusing to acknowledge that he's riding the wave.
Yeah, no, he's heading for not to always bring everything back to Mike, but he's heading for, there's this guy, Chuck Wimpner is his name. What's his name? Wepner. He's the guy who calls himself the real Rocky.
I've heard of this guy.
Well, he kind of calls himself that because Sylvester Stallone wholesaled his entire existence for the Rocky movie. So I'm not gonna soft pedal what happened to this guy. He basically got his entire life jacked by Stallone,
mm-hmm.
and now he had to like take the guy to court. The great movie called The Real Rocky that my friend Jeff Fierzig directed. Documentary. It was one of the ESPN 30 for 30 things. Really great about Chuck Wepner. But yeah, so maybe you'll be doing the real Riff Raff. Maybe that's your movie.
I've got one in me, and that's it. No, I was just saying he's jumped his own shark now because he's now hanging out with Hulk Hogan, and he wants to be a professional wrestler.
Wait, Riff Raff is hanging out with Hulk Hogan?
Oh, yes, he's getting trained by Hulk Hogan. And we're only 40 days away from WrestleMania, Tom.
So, hold on. Suddenly I'm interested in wrestling now. Riff Raff is going to be in WrestleMania?
No. It's just saying that we're a couple weeks out from WrestleMania at this point. And Riff Raff all over Twitter has been posting pictures of his workout regimen and polling his followers for what his signature moves should be, and now Hulk Hogan is trying to put him over on Twitter, saying that he's something about how he's one of the hardest working individuals he's ever worked in the gym with, and he's really serious about a career in the WWE. Yeah, he's jumped his own shark. He's become like a sentient pile of like glitter encrusted clothes.
Okay. You managed to pull this call out to some degree.
Oh, oof. It's a load off, Tom.
You got the nose back up again. You got the nose back up.
That's my cue then. I've got to exit.
Have to exit, and I'm going to exit on your behalf. Goodbye. You're out, buddy. How about that?
Hi, everybody. Tim Heidecker here to let you know about our latest episode of Office Hours Live.
Office Hours is great fun.
With the great John Early and Theda Hamill.
Very handsome.
Thank you. They're here to talk about their new movie, Stress Positions. And we just had a wonderful time. There was a lot of laughter and joy. Don't believe me? Well, listen for yourself on the podcast app of your choice. You're not going to want to miss a second. That's at Office Hours Live. At the podcast app of your choice.
Bum, 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 bum.
I love Vic and Doug, and I love drinking my wine.
Riff Raff. He's basically this trash dude covered in tattoos, right? I'm not saying that people in tattoos are trash, but this dude is trash. And, he's like it's like a novelty thing, I think, right? Is he like Raymond J. Johnston or something? He's like the You Can Call Me Ray of hip hop. So they modeled it on him. They modeled this, James Franco and Harmony Korine modeled this thing on Riff Raff for the movie, Spring Breakers. And now he's, I don't know if he wants a piece of the pie or something? I just don't know. We'll find out. But if he's going to be in wrestling now, so it's going to be like him hanging out with Hulk Hogan. At least he went to the source, right? That's like the promised land. You start working with Hulk Hogan. Riff Raff, it looks like kind of what would happen if, I guess Riff Raff is kind of like if Terry Richardson was like Peter Parker, right? If picture this, Terry Richardson is Peter Parker, and he gets bit by like a radioactive, can of Four Loko, right? You know the way Peter Parker got bit by a spider that was radioactive? He gets bit by a radioactive can of Four Loko and then turns into Riff Raff. Look, maybe we could sell this to Marvel. Think Marvel would buy this? A Riff Raff cartoon? Now, ladies, I know you want more to hear more representation on the show. I know I read the comments. I do not take it lightly. So I did a little scrambling, trying to make sure you feel your voice is heard in the show. And that's why I'm excited to bring my next guest on the program. Let's bring him on. You may know him from the TV series Entourage, where he portrayed Turtle for eight seasons. You might know him from the movie franchise that they've made two of these smash movies. It's the Think Like a Man.
Think Like a Man. Yes, did your research.
Of course I did. I'm not taking it lightly. We got Jerry Ferrara on the line. What's up, Jerry?
How's it going, man? Happy to be on this phone with you right now.
Oh, well, thank you. You, young man, sir, are you're a bit of a renaissance guy. You do acting, obviously, but you are a restaurateur. Right?
That is true.
What is the name of your restaurant?
It's a sandwich shop called Fat Sal's, which was started with two good friends of mine. And being from New York, we always wanted to open something out in L.A. that has like an East Coast feel to it. And they kind of changed that brand a little bit, but it's Fat Sandwiches, which kind of started in Jersey by Rutgers University.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just the most ridiculous thing on a sandwich you could ever think of. Like, I created my sandwich called the Fat Jerry, and mm-hmm. I just started throwing random stuff out there thinking, like, all right, they're going to stop me at some point, and they kind of never stopped me.
You just kept piling it on. Because over by Rutgers in New Brunswick, there would be the grease trucks.
Mm-hmm.
And,
exactly.
And you'd go there, and it basically would be this kind of, like, circle of trucks, and people would... They would make these sandwiches where it's like a hamburger on it, and then they put French fries and mozzarella sticks and anything that can kind of fit in the bun, and then you eat it, and then you get walked over to Robert Johnson Hospital, which is just about six blocks away, to get checked out because you're clearly either you're trying to do something to yourself. I don't know, you might be considered a threat to yourself by eating the wrong fat sandwich. So what is the Fat Jerry, Jerry Ferrara?
Oh, God, the Fat Jerry. This is, I guess you could say, is the closest thing to our breakfast-type sandwich because there are some eggs on it. It's like fried egg, mozzarella sticks, chicken fingers French fries, Philly cheesesteak, and I want to say, like, mayo or something. And the first one opened up by UCLA in Westwood out here. And it is by, like, the UCLA Medical Center, too. So you can just walk right over there, too, if you're feeling a little faintish.
So that's the West Coast equivalent. Head over.
It's been great. We're on to we just opened the fourth one up in Austin, Texas. So who knew, man? Sandwiches, bro. I'm like Jared. Sandwiches.
You're just like Jared. You're just like Jared. So you... Jerry Ferrara, who people can get on Twitter at, was it Jerry C. Ferrara?
Jerry C. Ferrara, yeah. Someone's squatting on Jerry Ferrara, so I had to use the middle initial, which makes my mom very happy because she likes my middle name.
What is your middle name? Can I guess? Is it Christopher?
Sure.
Christopher?
No.
Charles?
Yeah, I was about to give you a hint. I was about to say he's in charge.
Oh, that's Charles. I know. Yeah, I didn't that's even kinda, see.
Yep. Jerry Charles Ferrara. Weird thing to it.
Nobody ever called you JC?
Yes, Stacy, but that's where the C comes from in the Twitter handle.
So people can go talk to you over at Jerry C. Ferrara on Twitter. You are also a podcaster now. Like everybody, you've thrown your hat in the ring now with podcasting.
Can we say that this is the golden era of podcasting? We've had the golden era of TV. We've had the golden era of cinema. I feel like those are kind of gone. And now it's like the golden era of podcasting. Yeah. I grew up with like an insane love for sports talk radio. I didn't have a TV in my room, so I used to listen to the radio to go to sleep, and then obviously like Howard Stern and all that. And this is just like my little kind of side dream of like being a radio host, you know, much like yourself, although I don't do it on your scale. So what podcasts allow you to do, obviously, is do it on a small scale and still feel like you're doing it. So
yeah.
That's been the whole point.
And your show is called Bad for Business.
Yes, because my girlfriend is my producer, and a lot can go wrong with that situation.
You scream? You two scream at each other?
Yeah, a little bit. You know, it's weird. Like, we're kind of nice to each other on the show, but then we're, like, brushing our teeth at night is where the tooth comes out.
In the unlikeliest of places. How much of you is turtle? Which that makes me wonder now. How much of you is turtle?
I think that there's enough of everyone in whatever character they're playing. I'm not trying to get all actory on you because I hate those conversations. But
yeah.
Like, I'd like to think that there's a little bit of Daniel Day-Lewis and Abraham Lincoln. I'm not trying to compare myself to Daniel Day-Lewis by any stretch, but the point is like, yes, there are definitely similarities to myself and the character, but, you know, there's also wide differences. Like, I don't live with three other dudes like we did on the show.
Yeah.
You know, I like to think I'm a little more reserved. Like, I lived through that character because I definitely did not have the freedom to kind of, or the confidence to walk up to girls the way he did. And I think I'm a little more motivated and driven than he was. You know, he was a stoner, which I could relate to in my own way. But, you know, he was a late bloomer, and I like to think that I maybe got a much earlier start.
Sure. Now, did you find it? How about this? Did you become more like this guy as time went on? Suddenly you're like, oh my God, I'm turning into this, I'm living in this character too much. It's starting to rub off on me.
You know, it sucks. It's like, look, Entourage was such a fun show. I honestly really do not believe I will ever get a better job. What I mean by that is...
No, I don't believe that. You've got something else.
Hopefully, but what I mean is, like, God, it was just so, maybe it's because I was so much younger, and, like, I love all the guys that we did the show with, and, you know, it's shot in L.A., and that's where I live, and rarely do things shoot where you live anymore, and it just was so much fun. Like, I just can't even explain. I know a lot of actors say that, like, oh, I love the cast, and maybe they mean it, maybe they don't. I legitimately mean it. Like, it's just... It was an amazing show to just be a part of, and I don't know, man. Yeah, it was just a good run.
Yeah,
I don't even know where I was going. I forgot what the original question.
Yeah, no, you did. You answered. So when you were doing this thing, though, you're now a dude out in L.A. You're an East Coast guy, right? Living in L.A.
Yeah.
And now you go audition for this thing. What was that? What did that? How many times did you have to go in and audition for before you got the part?
Legitimately probably like 50.
50?
Oh, yeah, and like, you know, the first part of the process obviously is like, you know, you just go in and your first step is get past the casting director.
Mm-hmm.
And you get past the casting director and then you go to producer. Then they start pairing you up with other people they think are right for, all leading toward the final network test. And so I got paired up with so many different people. And I do remember, you get to the network test for HBO, and there's always like three people, maybe more, but usually about three per character. I'm trying to look around and see who the other turtles are.
Yeah.
I clock the other two.
Yeah, so you're sitting in the room. Would you go in and you sit in the room, you're looking at 18 other turtles?
I'm looking at like three or four other turtles, but then it's weird. Then you look over and you see the Vince section. Then you see the Eric section.
Yeah.
You see then the Johnny Drama section was only Kevin Dillon. Kevin Dillon basically had the part.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't know it, and they still made him test. And I remember when he finally got that information, he was like, well, I wish you had told me that because I really wouldn't have showed up for the test.
Yeah, he didn't have to show. He had it locked down.
And I remember, like, I was so nervous. It was my first real big test. And I walk into the room, and Mark Wahlberg was in there. And it just was one of those, like you kind of flinch. It's like, oh, wow, so there's Wahlberg. There he is, right there. So I was a little nervous, did my first scene, then they kick you out of the room. And then then they pair you up with someone. And Wahlberg, who I had not met at the time, came outside and points at me and is like, come here, I want to talk to you. I'm like, oh, God. I'm, like, getting called into the scariest principal's office in the world.
Yeah.
And he's like, listen, I watched all your tapes. He's like, you are this guy. Like, you got it. Don't be nervous. Don't worry about what the script says. Go do what you were doing. He's like, he kind of gave me the, like, you're blowing it.
Yeah.
Talk.
Yeah, he's telling you to loosen up. So what did you do? You went out of the car, you smoked a little bit of God's green herb, loosened up a little bit?
No, I just went rogue. I went into the room and I was like, I'm going to destroy. I don't remember who they paired me up with, but my mentality was like, I have to destroy this guy. And I don't remember what I said, but all I remember is like everyone in the room started laughing. And then the worst part is like they start sending people home.
Yeah, not making the cut.
They whittle it down. And literally I remember plain as day being in the room with Kevin Dillon, Kevin Connolly, and Adrian was not in L.A., who played Vince at that time, and there was someone else there, but the three out of four were on that stage, the last people there, I got the call an hour later.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's very exciting.
Sorry, that was a long winded.
No, that was it. People want to know what this is like. 50 auditions, that's crazy. So you...
Easily.
You know what's crazy now, though, also, Jerry Ferrara, is that you... On the show Entourage, for people who don't know, it's about a movie star, and it's got all these his pals from the old neighborhood who hang out with him and kind of complete his world. Is that you were like the driver, the goofball, and but in real life you're Vince. Vince.
That's very flattering. I like to think I'm a little more stable than the Vince character was. I guess, you know, I'd much rather kind of be the turtle character. It's so much less stressful and a lot more fun. But
you got stuff going on. You got hit movies now. You got restaurants. Well, trucks, not restaurants, but, you know, restaurants with wheels on them. You got stuff going on. You're all diversified now.
You know what, Tom? You know what's nice, too, is I'm 35 years old now, and I'm finally, for the first time, like, relaxing and, like, looking back a little bit. And in no means am I, like, done and ready for retirement. I'm close to semi-retirement because I'm just lazy. But now I'm at the point where it's like, you know what? No matter what happens from here, I'm good. Mm-hmm. Like, I feel like I snuck into the club and I'm waiting for the bouncer to come shine the light on me and say, what the hell are you doing in here? Yeah. And like,
what's that
like?
I don't know.
Maybe that bouncer is not gonna come.
I'm still in terms of life. I'm the guy outside. I'm in the bathroom mopping up your vomit.
No, come on. Hey,
that's where I am.
Look how easy this got done.
You'd be in there.
You'd throw,
oh great. Jerry Ferrara just horked in the men's room. Let me go get the bucket. At least I get to.
One tweet from you, and you had my attention and fully committed on this show. That's all it took, man. Give yourself credit.
All right. I'll take a little credit. So you, Jerry Ferrara, it's exciting. 8 seasons of Entourage. Everybody was a huge fan of the show. And you know what the funny thing is? That you are on it. You watched 8 seasons of this thing. People go, Entourage is it's done now. I don't like it anymore. And then they're like, oh, I like it again now. Oh, like, so you're watching all that. But then it turns out, all of a sudden, at the end of the day, everybody wants more of it. So you guys actually, there's all this talk, we're going to do a movie. And it takes like forever for this movie to get done. But the movie gets done. Now it's coming out. When's it coming out? The Entourage movie.
June 5th. It will be out. And the trailer is up on Facebook and YouTube and all those various things I don't know too much about.
Sure.
But, the trailer's up. It was very, very well received.
Yeah.
And the movie's good, which is obviously, I might be a little selfish saying that, but, like, it really turned out better than I could have even imagined, which is good.
Yeah. Oh, good, good.
You know, you worry, like, did we wait too long? Did we wait, you know, did we do it too soon? I think the timing is actually right. I don't think we can wait any longer, or else we'll be doing it from an old age home.
Yeah, because all of a sudden it'll be, you'll be doing Entourage, and you got the Dancing with the Stars. Like, Vince will be on Dancing with the Stars, and you'll be...
That might have been a reference at one point that I think got cut from the movie.
Now, in this movie, look, I'm not expecting you to give us the whole plot of this thing, of course. Everybody can go see it when it comes out in June. Give us one thing. Give me one scrap. One morsel of something that we can look forward to.
Of something. I'll give you like three small things that can add up to a morsel. I don't know if this is a morsel.
Okay. These are sub-morsels that will... turn like a Voltron into a full morsel.
Like, you know what? I lost the yellow Voltron, and I still haven't recovered. I was walking around minus the yellow, whatever it was. And the great Voltron reference, by the way.
Before you give these morsels, this guy Mike, who's my associate producer here, just asked me. He wants to know his least favorite thing. And I told him this is a positive interview. He was so mad at this Dom plot line on Entourage.
Oh,
he hated Dom, so he would come in every week. Dom this, Dom that. Because he thought Dom was going to force his way in like a fifth guy. I was like, don't worry. There's four guys.
First and foremost.
Don't worry, Mike.
Played by Dominic Lombardozzi, who's one of my dear friends. Dom starred in the show, one of the other, if not maybe the best HBO show of all time, The Wire. Played Herc on The Wire. Phenomenal actor, phenomenal guy. Dom was in the mix, I think, to play one of these characters early on when the show was a little bit darker. So Doug Allen, the creator of the show, has always loved Dom, so he literally wrote, obviously, the Dom character for Dom. And it was, by design, made for you to not really love him, because, yes, he came in, he infiltrated the group, and... And then, yeah, everybody kind of wanted him gone. I thought it was a great character. I totally understood that character. I've known, like, when a friend of mine has, like, come to visit from New York and visit me in L.A., like, the kind of damage that could be caused by that. So I related to it. I enjoyed the heck out of it. But a lot of people agree with your producer and kind of wanted Dom off the island.
No,
but,
I'm telling you, look, this guy Mike... he might have brought a little bit of this to the table himself, where he needs to get a little perspective on things. But he was like, it's like, they're not going to add a fifth guy. This isn't the Brady Bunch, Mike. And the one when he started trying to take the pan and do all the cooking, and Mike did not like that.
Yeah, he had to give me a dead arm in the show because his character wanted to drive, so he punches me in the arm. And I remember them asking me early in that day, hey, Jerry, you want like an arm pad or something? Because Dom has to punch you, and Dom's a relatively big guy.
Yeah.
And obviously, he's still pulling it. I'm like, nah, I didn't want to come off as like, you know, a lightweight. I wanted to show I could take it. Dude, I had a black and blue from the top of my shoulder to the bottom of my elbow from Dom punching me in the arm.
Because for people who don't know, this guy Dom, he looks like Mr. Clean on steroids. Right?
He's a big, strong guy. He can be intimidating, but if you get to know him as a friend like I have all these years, he's got a heart of gold, and he's a damn good actor.
Sure. No, he's been in all sorts of things. Like he works all the time, that guy. So what are these morsels? Like, we need the sub-morsels before.
Oh, the morsels. Okay. The morsels. The Ari character is back running the
That's not a morsel. We knew he was back.
Let me finish.
Oh, you're right. Fair enough. I will let you finish.
He's back running the studio now, and his first job out of the gate is a high-financed Vincent Chase movie that Vincent Chase is directing, going the Ben Affleck route.
Sure.
Directing, writing, starring. Mm-hmm. That's a sub-morsel that's going to go somewhere.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Next sub-morsel is, and it has to do with my character, and you see it in the trailer, great cameo by Ronda Rousey, and a lot of you saw in the trailer... listening, hopefully you saw it, I get in the octagon with her, and I could answer the age-old question. Like, Ronda Rousey would beat the living heck out of me in about 8 seconds flat. So, tiny sub-morsel, that's going to go somewhere.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And then the cameos are just, in true Entourage fashion, we get all the old regulars in there, you know, Bob Saget, Andrew Dice Clay, everyone you've grown to love from the show, and just, you know, there's a Gronkowski sighting, there's a, there may be, I can't give too much away.
Don't go, I don't want to get you in trouble. I don't want you getting disinvited from the premiere because you said too much.
Russell Wilson, a lot of good athletes.
Okay,
all
right.
Off the charts.
Did you meet Gronk? Do you know Gronk? That guy Gronk?
I met that guy Gronk. Yes, he was on set, and obviously he wasn't a Super Bowl champion yet at that moment. But a nice guy, fun guy. You could tell he liked that fun. I'm not breaking news by saying that.
No, he looks like the kind of guy who, if football didn't work out for him, he'd be like renting jet skis or something like that. Right?
I mean, good. What a great guy. Like, you could party with that guy. If some beef breaks out, you could probably fight. Like, I don't know. I'd party with Gronk any day.
Well, he'd be the guy when you go rent a jet ski and then you're also looking to buy weed. He'd be the guy who would tell you where to buy weed and when you're going to rent a jet ski. He'd hook somebody. He'd hook you up.
It is pretty crazy to see. It really was like a theme park attraction, in a way, to see a guy that big and to think that, like, oh, my, like, this guy runs like a 4.64. It's just insane to think something that large could move that fast.
Sure, yeah. Those I'm going to say add up to, that's half a morsel. Anybody who pays attention to the trailer could have got those. But I don't want to, I'm not going to put you under the microscope either. People got to go pay to see the movie.
I didn't say.
Oh, I know what you did. Look.
You get me in trouble.
Oh, I know. It was it was a little tap dance you did. You tap danced your way away from giving anything away, which is all I, you know what? Honestly, I didn't want you to give anything away. Because I want everybody to see the thing and be surprised when the movie comes out.
Yeah,
you know, everybody can go see it.
I want to enjoy it.
Of course. I know. So tell us, we have a couple questions coming in here from fans. Gabe wants to know, who is your turtle?
You know, I don't really have one. It's sad. If you would have thought after all these years, maybe I would have had one. I'm sorry. It's not more interesting answer, Gabe. But, you know, I never really had a turtle. I kind of like to drive myself around. I don't really roll deep like that. I feel like it just slows me down. I feel like I can get in and out of places a lot quicker without having three or four dudes with me.
Sure. No, of course.
Sorry, Gabe. Sorry, Gabe.
All right. So, yeah, Gabe, better luck next time. With your question, what's the worst thing anybody said to you when you're just out and about? You know, being a normal dude who happens to be on a TV show and be in movies. Like, do people mistake you for the character and then they scream turtle and you're just like, all right, that's enough.
I'm not turtle. Look, that used to happen, and still, it actually, believe it or not, it did happen today. It actually happened today. Someone driving by. It used to happen a lot, especially in the early seasons, you know, I guess because, you know, you're on TV, you're in people's homes, they feel like they know you, so, you know, I don't think anyone had any of that, and I don't really have a large body of work to go off of before this, so definitely jumped to that. It has changed now that it's been 10 years since we started. It's a lot more Jerry and people kind of knowing my full name, but it still does happen, and I think I have a good way of looking at that. Look, if you're obnoxious, you're obnoxious. That's just the bottom line.
Sure.
You're going to come up and scream and invade private personal space and, like, touch and all that. I don't care what you're calling me. Like, that's just not cool. But, look, if you come up cool, I don't expect you to know my name. And if you watch the show and I get it, like, you want me to be that. So I wouldn't be talking to you right now if there wasn't Entourage and Turtle. Like, I'm not on this phone call with you most likely.
Fair point.
So, I don't know. I've always had a pretty realistic thought. It's given me so many good things in my life. Like, I don't care. I know it's not going to be like that the rest of my life. And if it is, not that bad of an outcome.
Yeah. Look, who knows? 15 years from now.
On the flip side, I've had really bad things said that weren't just people coming up saying, turtle. There's like...
What's the worst thing?
There was a website designed in the very early years, and there still was websites and everything. Wasn't like a Facebook or a Twitter page. There was like a website designed to kill my character off. And there was like poll questions on how should we do it. That one, my mom didn't like that one.
No, sure. She shouldn't.
I mean, I've had people get so disappointed when I won't smoke weed with them. It's like I told them there's no Santa Claus when they come up to me and they're like, yo, you want to go smoke a blunt? I'm like, hey, I don't really do that much anymore, whatever. And if I did, like, I don't know. I'm not going to smoke your strange weed. I don't know
yeah,
you. Like,
exactly. You're some weirdos putting PCP in it. Next thing you
know,
you're running down the middle of Melrose in your underwear, screaming.
Keep thinking of, like, Chris Tucker in Friday when he said he smoked dust by accident. Next thing you know, I'm at Debo's pigeon coop. So, I wasn't up for that. But, I've had some terrible things said to me.
Well,
man.
I'm sorry. On behalf of those, I apologize on behalf of the general public.
No, I've had great. Dude, I've gotten a lot of love, more love than hate. So it's all good.
All right. Couple more things, then we'll let you go. I want to ask you, let me see how you know about your own body of work. I'm going to name a character you played, and you have to tell me the thing that he was in. You ready?
Jesus.
Here we go.
God.
Vivo.
Wow, that I remember. That was the first movie I ever did. That is a film called Cross Bronx, which is what got me my first audition in Entourage.
All right. Let's see here. Joe Buckner? Yeah.
Oh, my Lord.
Seven Days in Utopia.
You didn't even wait. You didn't even warn me.
Look,
up.
We got to move here. We got to move.
That's how you pull a muscle.
I'm not going to let you look it up on IMDb.
7 Days in Utopia, a golf movie.
Dean.
That was Las Vegas.
That's right.
With starring Mr. Robert De Niro.
Okay, student number two.
Many of my earlier projects. You can pick one. Grounded for Life, King of Queens, City Guys, pick one.
Well, that's not accurate, because for everybody who knows, on King of Queens, you played Joey. And on Grounded for Life, you played Drew.
So is this, oh my God, student.
One more, and then I'm going to let you off the hook with this.
Okay.
Let's see. One more. Hazlert.
Sergeant Hazlert. That was Battleship. That was You Sunk My. No!
No!
Lone Survivor.
That was Lone Survivor. Battleship, you played Samson Jude Strodel.
Well, great. Now I feel like a total idiot.
No, it's fine. You know, what, you're supposed to be home staring at your IMDb all night, memorizing it? You did the thing. You move on to the next thing. Final thing. How do you fix the Knicks, Jerry Ferrara? Fix the Knicks for me right now.
Oh, my Lord.
What do you do? You walk Phil Jackson into the Hudson?
Look, the simple, easy fix. First, the fact that they didn't get Dragic was absolutely depressing. I look around the NBA, and all I see are, besides the obvious three Hall of Fame players, every competitive team has a great point guard. The Knicks have not had a great point guard since Clyde Frazier.
Yeah.
So I think, of course, you get a big man in the draft, try and sign Marc Gasol for sure, but I think priority, we need a floor general point guard leader.
Yeah, what's-his-face with the gun running around on the floor. Remember when he was like, I thought his gun was going to fall out of his shorts.
Oh, Ray Felton?
Yeah.
Oh, Jesus.
Travesty.
Ray Felton. It is nice when you're watching the game and you see Ray Felton's a late scratch due to an arrest for illegal gun charges.
Yeah, exactly. He's the kind of guy who you would expect. He could either be on the floor or you could see him on the 4th of July at a competitive eating contest.
Which is crazy because 4 years before this, before we traded for Carmelo Anthony, he was having like an all-star year with Amari Stoudemire his first year, and then we got him back 30 pounds later.
Yep, exactly. Don't worry, they come back to the Knicks when they're nice and then logy. Like they just.
What do you do? Are you a Knicks fan?
Yeah.
So you're miserable like me. What do you do?
What do I do?
Phil Jackson should have coached.
I shuttle Phil Jackson. Phil Jackson sucks. This guy.
He should have took the heat for the first season. He laid Fisher out to dry.
Nah, he's half asleep. This guy, they should have never hired this guy. He's half asleep. I think Phil Jackson's the most overrated guy in the history of sports. He never coached a team without a top 10 all-time player on it.
I mean, wasn't there reports? I think they've been nullified, but. That he was like somewhere in the Bahamas during the trade deadline and All-Star break and wasn't available and could not get Wi-Fi to pitch in on the Goran Dragic deal.
Yeah, of course not.
I think that was not true, but what a great story.
Yeah, well, don't worry. The Knicks still have Cole Aldrich and Langston Galloway to take them all the distance.
I've been tweeting that the Cole Aldrich era has begun since November 24th. I remember I watched the game, and yes, that's when the Cole Aldrich era. I do like Langston, though. I mean, I think he'd be a good little piece.
Yeah, he's all right when you got it. He's all right for a fantasy basketball team, but not in real life. You got somebody just is flipping out here. This guy on Twitter, Alexis, says, "Hey, what are you talking about?" And he puts a picture with no great point guard since Walt Frazier. Puts a picture of Charlie Ward up. Come on, you dummy. That's not a good.
It was his second best sport.
Yeah, exactly.
Which is interesting too. It was Charlie Ward's second best sport, and I did like Charlie Ward a lot.
Yeah, yeah.
But they had that great run of the 8 seed that year, or the 7 seed.
That was it.
They
were the 8 seed. 1999. So, yep. Jerry Ferrara, people can get you over at Jerry C. Ferrara on Twitter. You got this podcast now, Bad 4, Number 4 Business. Where do people get that? Over at iTunes?
Yeah, that's on iTunes, like most of them. And we do have the website, B4BENT. But yeah, iTunes is always the easiest way. And, and thank you for that, because being a fan of radio and podcasts, and I've gone before I did this, I listened to a lot of your stuff, and you're doing it right, man. Keep
oh,
doing
well,
it.
That's sweet of you to say. Mike wants to know if you're a huge Mike Francesa fan.
I am. I mean, that's what I grew up on, you know? Like, there's times where I also disagree vehemently, but also, like, that's what I grew up listening to, you know? So that's part of my upbringing. Mm-hmm.
Mike went and saw him at this thing called FrancesaCon. Did you hear about that?
Yes, I did hear about that.
Mike was at that. Irving Plaza. He was at FrancesaCon.
So he's a fan. I guess he's a big fan.
Yeah, yeah. Somebody also, one more question, then we'll wrap it up. Which Beatle is, if the Entourage guys are the Beatles, who is who?
I mean, I guess Vince is John. I'm trying to think. The hard part is, who's Paul? I don't know. Paul would be E. I think I'm definitely, no, Johnny Drum is probably Ringo.
Yeah.
I would need a lot of time to think about. That's a really good question. I might do that on my podcast.
Well, look,
I might
steal one
of your listeners' topics for a podcast.
Well, I'll give it to you right now. Eric is John Lennon because he's sour and crabby. You got Vince is Paul because he's cute. You're George because nobody knows what you're going to do next, and you got more potential up your sleeve than people think. And then Johnny Drama is Ringo because he's a buffoon. But once in a while, he impresses everybody.
And now I don't even. You just cost me a whole podcast.
There you go. Sorry, look, you're the one throwing your hat in my ring. This is competitive. You don't see me audition for Entourage.
Touché, my friend. You won.
Well, Jerry, this has been a total blast. I appreciate it. And people can check you out on Twitter, Jerry C. Ferrara. We check your podcast out, Bad 4 Business, and the movie, Entourage movie, comes out in June.
Thank you so much, man. Anytime, literally, if you want to have me on, it would be an absolute pleasure.
Well, thanks so much.
Get in touch.
You have a great night. Take care, buddy.
All right, be well.
Thanks. How about that, Mike? Mike doesn't like it. Mike was so mad about Dom being on the show. I remember he would come in, veins bursting, just worried. I hope this guy doesn't become the fourth member of the Entourage. Because there's five guys, but one, because Vince is not in the Entourage. He is the, we should have talked to him about how we tried to write the Entourage movie on the air. Remember that? No sneakers questions. Didn't even get to talk about his dog, Arnold. Yeah, we'll do a follow-up. Who's good here, Mike? Best show, you're on the air.
Hey, Tom, how are you?
I'm doing all right. Who's this?
This is Chuck down in Atlantic City.
Chuck in Atlantic City. What part of Atlantic City?
Oh, right in the heart of the city, Atlantic City High School graduate.
All right. How are things down there going? A little rough lately?
Cold.
Oh, yeah. No. I know it's cold, but the casinos, what's going on? What's things are not looking so hot right now.
Well, the mayor seems to think things are on an upswing. The latest thing is some guy wanted to buy Revel, the one that closed down, and turn it into a massive indoor water park. Mm-hmm. The logistics of that kind of escaped me, considering, you know, you're 2 feet from the beach, but yeah. Better than a big empty building, I guess.
Look, for people who don't know this, Revel is a casino that opened in Atlantic City. It almost just opened, and then it went out of business. As soon as it opened, right? Was it open for a year and a half?
I want to say it was close to 2 years.
Okay,
and,
yeah. Like a year and a half.
Yeah, they can't sell the thing for pennies on the dollar now.
So this is what I say they should do. This thing went out of business, Revel. This is how you fix it. You ready?
Okay.
You take this Revel casino. You put 5,000 cameras in it. Wall cameras, okay. Ceiling cameras. Just hang with me here for a second.
I'm here.
No, I know you're here. Don't worry. Oh, so literal. Take 5,000 cameras. You wire this place from every angle. Every room has a camera in it. You can't go 2 feet without being on a camera, right?
Okay.
You turn the lights on. You turn half the lights on. Then what you do is you throw the doors open. Anyone can come in this place and do whatever they want. Right? But this is... You're like, now I know you're saying, well, how did it not make money? How did it not make money? How's it going to make money? This is how. It's very simple. 1 hour a day. You have a team of editors, right? They take all the footage that's shot from this thing, and they put together the best 1 hour of footage that would go on in this place. If you open the doors and you let anyone come in and do whatever they wanted, right? And it's also, there's a sign saying, you do whatever you want in here. Get the mayor to give it some sort of legal dispensation. No guns, but anything short of that, just, you're not murdering people or attacking people. It's not a violent thing. It's just depravity in there. And you film it, and then you put it, everybody subscribes to this website where they get to see 1 hour of what goes on in this casino as the animals. And you have a couple games are still live there. Like, there's, like, a little bit of gambling still going. You tell me that would be the biggest thing that ever happened. Because that would be like a real-life Walking Dead.
Now, if somebody wins big at one of the games, would somebody be allowed to take their money?
They could.
Or is that off limits?
Yeah, no, that could be a part of it. And you also have, like, some sort of, like, instead of the police, we'd make them, like, kind of futuristic cops in there, right?
So we're looking at something like a dystopian Rebel.
Kind of, yeah.
I like it. What about the where would it be broadcast? Because I feel like
on the internet,
some nudity or something.
It would be on the internet, and then you also put it on TV. You put it on HGTV.
Okay, yeah, I'm sold. I think you should take some meetings.
You tell me that wouldn't bring that Revel back? It would be the biggest moneymaker going. People would be turning into horror casino, buying subscription plans.
Well, a lot of the mutants I went to high school with went on to get jobs like as dealers or something. Mm-hmm. So, you know, maybe they could really take the worst of the worst and send them there and just kind of, you know, get real Darwinian with it. And,
oh, yeah.
You know, whoever walks out gets the job.
I don't know who to talk to about this, but if you can get me a meeting with the mayor, I would be into that.
All right. Well, thank you, Tom. Anyway, this is my first time calling. I don't want to take up much more of your time. I really do appreciate everything you do. And my quick point I wanted to make before we talked about my lovely hometown was I was earlier listening to the episode of the Nerdiest, as you've called it. With Sleater Kinney was on, because I've very much been enjoying their new album.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So I thought I'd give that a listen. And if I could just vent about it real quick, I thought this would be a proper forum. I just,
It was about an hour long, and I felt like I didn't learn anything at all.
Okay, well, look, so you were hanging out. I don't know what to say. You didn't like it. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I apologize on behalf of the podcasting community.
I just think you'd do a better job as well.
Yeah, no kidding. Do a better job than anybody like Spuds Terkel doing anything.
Anyway, thank you very much.
Studs or Spuds? Which one is it?
Spuds?
It's Spuds. Spuds Terkel. Spud? No, it's Studs. Studs Terkel.
Studs. Wow.
Studs.
Man.
Spuds McKenzie.
Thank you very much for
Which one was the writer and which one was the creepy dog that they sexualized women around and made the commercials completely unsettling that they that a major corporation in America actually would portray women as being turned on by a dog? Which one was which again?
I think Studs Terkel is the writer who's about 160 years old now, if I'm not mistaken.
But he must have died, though. He still can't be alive, right?
I wouldn't think so.
There's no way he's 160 years old.
You should probably have Mike check on that, though, just to be sure.
I'll have Mike check. Mike, can you check whether Spuds McKenzie is still alive? No, Studs McKenzie is still alive.
Maybe both, just to be sure.
Okay, thanks.
Thanks, Tom. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Don't say bye-bye. You're a grown man. Say goodbye. Bye-bye. Unless I'm your kid. Then you say bye-bye. Always drive me nuts. Bye-bye from adults. Got adults saying bye-bye. Mike took Entourage so personally. It was a weird time for him. Best Show, you're on the air.
Hey, Tom, this is John from Los Angeles.
John from Los Angeles, what's up?
Speaking about Riff Raff, he says that he and Kanye went to high school together and that they were on the same volleyball team.
Okay.
And this was like an interview back in 2010 or something, and then that has vanished from the internet, and now there was a few years later where he said that Kanye had banned him from talking about their time together.
Wait, so who banned who from what now?
Kanye reached out to Riff Raff to say that he could no longer talk about their time together in high school.
The emperor? Ban him? What kind of ban could he put on him? Ban.
Well, it seemed like
you're using the right word there?
It's the word that Rich sort of used. He said that he was no longer going to talk about Kanye until they had worked something out.
Well, that's fine. That's not a ban. I don't know what to say anymore. I don't know what to say. What are we going to say? So what's up, buddy? What else?
Nothing. What's up with you?
Nothing? You say that's a magic word to get shown the door. What's up? Nothing. Bye. Best Show, you're on the air.
Hey, Tom, this is Tom calling from Corpus Christi, Texas.
From Corpus Christi. Great, great name, first of all.
Oh, I know. Latin for body of Christ. The best.
No, your name, Tom.
Oh, I'm sorry. It is a good name.
Okay. Well, what do you got, young man? Well, what are you bringing to the table tonight?
Well, did you see that thing last week about Lou Reed from that like PBS interview from like the 80s where apparently he called the Beatles garbage and the Doors stupid?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I have there's a band down here in Corpus, probably like the biggest band here, but they're basically a cover band of the 60s sound because they write their own songs, but they really rip off a bunch of other bands from that era. And he was posting on all the social medias how he was really pissed off. And I don't know.
So he thought the Beatles stunk. It's like one voice saying that somebody hated the Beatles. What are we going to start arresting people for not liking the Beatles?
No, I mean, I kind of agreed with what he was saying.
Look, there's plenty of people who don't like the Beatles.
It's true.
There's plenty
of
people who think they lost it when they did the Sgt. Pepper's and never got it back.
I think that's when they started to be better, to be honest.
Hey, you're nuts. Goodbye. Best Show, you're on the air.
Hi. Hi, Tom. This is Jim.
Hi, Jim. What's up?
I wanted to see if you can solve a riddle.
Always my favorite kind of calls riddles. Well, first of all, my love of riddles, everyone knows how much I just love a good riddle. What's the riddle?
Okay. You may remember this one, but I want to see if you can get it this time.
Is it about a mouse or something?
There are three mice in a mouse hole.
No, you guys admitted that there was no answer to this, though. You blew it. You already told me that.
No, that's not true.
Okay, then what's the answer?
Well, I want to see if you can solve it. Three mice in a mouse hole. All three leave at the same time. There's still two left.
Say it again?
There are three mice in a mouse hole. All three leave at the same time, but there's still two left.
Yeah, I don't care. I really don't care. I don't care even a little bit.
I don't believe that.
Oh, well, you better believe it, because I truly...
Here's the thing, Tom. Here's the thing.
What?
Are you willing to invest?
Am I willing to invest in... Okay, wait. You know what? You got me a little bit. I am a little interested in it.
Yeah. So go ahead, try. Try to answer.
Just give me the riddle again. What is it?
Okay.
And let me say it. Take your time with it so I can take every step of this in.
Okay. There are three mice in a mouse hole. All three of them leave the mouse hole at the same time.
Okay.
But there are still two left.
What's the origin of this riddle?
At least 300 years old.
Is there a country that it originated in?
I think Switzerland.
Okay. Because I'm seeing something here online. It says that the riddle... Yeah, it says it originated in, Goodbye. I hate that. I hated that when those guys called. They called the show with that dumb thing. When did they? Could they start calling the show 8 years ago with that? I was disinterested by it then. And my interest has only diminished since then. Tell you, I talked about the hammer last week. The hammer swings both ways. Some days you're the one getting hit by the hammer. Other days suddenly you're holding the hammer. One of the best things I've ever seen in my life. And this was not a good thing to see, but it was an instructive thing. I was in Toronto on Yonge Street, and I saw two guys fighting on the street as I sat in a little cafe outside the window. Two guys were fighting. One guy had a bat, and he starts swinging this bat at this other guy. And people are gathering around. Oh my God, this guy's going to smash this dude with the other bat, with the bat. This is unbelievable. This guy's going to get smashed with a bat. So this guy's swinging the bat, hitting the other guy with the bat. Like all torso shots. Nothing, no cracking him over the head. He's hitting him with the bat. But then, the other guy pulls a move, like, under his arm. I think he, like, trapped the bat under his arm. and he got the bat from the guy. And suddenly, the guy getting hit by the bat had the bat. And this dude turned, and he started whomping this guy with the bat. And you know what the guy who was getting hit by the bat then should have just said? You know what? This is as fair as it gets. I had a bat and you didn't, and I chose to hit you with the bat. But then you wrestled the bat from me. And now you have the bat, and I don't. So yeah, start hitting me with it. That's fair. And when I saw that, just makes you realize, man, in life, sometimes you're holding the bat, sometimes you're getting hit by the bat. That bat can swing back and forth. Someday I'll hold the bat again. 2015 has just been a me on Young Street getting hit with a bat. While people gawk at me from inside a cafe. And it was a little cafe. Mike, it was a little cafe. Do you know what they did in that cafe? They played guitar all night and day. Yeah. Do you know how I knew that, Mike? Do you know how I knew they played guitar all night and day in there? So you could hear them in the back room strumming. That's the dumbest thing I've ever said on the radio. Hey, Mike. Hold on, Mike. You know why? Because Rosie's coming. Yeah. Hey, Mike, did I tell you what happened to my car? Well, my tires got slashed. And I almost crashed. But the Lord had mercy. Yeah. Do you know where this happened, Mike? He's taking a call. Mike, do you know where this happened to me? Somewhere in the swamps of Jersey. Yeah. Does it? I don't know why it would. Best show, you're on the air.
Hi, Tom.
Hi, who's this?
This is Drew in Minneapolis. How you doing?
Doing all right, Drew. What's up?
Not much. I'm having a birthday today, and I don't know. I gathered a bunch of friends together, and I just wanted to listen to the best show tonight, so they all told me I should call in. I've always wanted to call. Long-time listener, first-time caller.
So it's your birthday?
It is my birthday, yeah. Can I tell you, Tom, I didn't want to do this, but I wore the Best Show for Life t-shirt on Kimmel last year, and I just wanted to tell you...
I know you. You're in a band.
I am in a band, yeah. That's
what's the name
that's
of the band?
The important part. Well, the band is called Polisa.
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 Which is like if Marky Smith was talking about the police, right?
Yes.
Polisa.
Polisa.
Right?
Yeah.
And because you wore it when the best show was ending, suddenly there's a drummer on the suddenly there's a thing on Jimmy Kimmel. The drummer's wearing a shirt that says Best Show for Life. And this is you. You sure it's you? You're not pulling a fast one on me?
No. This is me, Tom. You know, I didn't want to call to brag about it or anything, but I just wanted to tell you, you know, I've loved the news since the show was back, been listening every night, and just wanted to let you know we're rallying behind you.
Well, thanks, buddy. I really do appreciate it. Are you having a good birthday?
Actually, I'm having a really good time. My friends are all kind of talking amongst themselves, but I'm just sort of sitting there listening to the show.
Yeah.
But it's a good time.
You sound a little loaded. A little loose. It's all right. I'm not judging.
Okay. Yeah, I'm
you should be.
My cool.
It's your birthday. It's your birthday.
Getting older.
It's all right. Have fun.
Have you ever been to Minneapolis?
Minneapolis. I've never been to Minneapolis.
No kidding.
No. I'm not kidding. I know that sounds like the kind of thing I would kid about, but I'm not.
Well, that's all right. There was a fellow who called in a few weeks ago with a Prince story. That was enjoyable.
Was it? I don't remember anymore.
I thought so. You didn't think so when he brought the busload of people to see Noah?
Yeah, that was a good story. I can't remember anything. I could barely remember if Jerry Ferrara called at this point. And then I think the drummer from Polisa called.
You're just not retaining the shows, are you?
It's like a sieve. My head's like a sieve. Stuff just drips out.
Well, is there something we can do for you on this end, Tom?
Yeah, a brain transplant and $1 million. That would fix everything. Short of that, just be nice to each other.
Fair enough, yeah.
Thanks, buddy.
Thank you, Tom.
Have a happy birthday. I appreciate it.
Hey, thank you very much. Have a good night.
You too. Bye. That's fun. Fun guy. That was a guy that wore that shirt on Jimmy Kimmel. It was pretty awesome. Best show for life. Drummer wore it. It's fun like that. People care. It's nice when people like the best show. It's nice when they like it. Everybody likes it. Best show, you're on the air.
Hey, Tom. This is Thor in Newbridge Heights.
Thor.
Yeah.
Hey, Thor. How are you?
Good. How you doing? Loving the show. You're back with a vengeance, man.
Oh, thanks, buddy.
I just wanted to say I love that section of the show last week where you talked about the Patti Smith incident in the elevator. I know.
Yeah.
Well, I know it was. Look, that was tough. I commend you for sharing that with everybody. And I'll tell you one thing, man. That took a set of solid brass crotch marbles, if you ask me.
To tell the story of me being in San Francisco a few weeks ago and then seeing Patti Smith at the hotel I was staying at and seeing her over and over. And the fourth time I saw her, I was compelled by who knows what to ask her to go into the elevator she was in and then to ask her if she saw Humble Pie play back in the day, which was a... Yeah, that was...
I still don't get it. What?
Thor, I wish...
It's two artists that you never hear of together.
Thor, that's why I asked the question. If I asked her about what television were like back in the day...
Right.
She would have said, this is the 8 millionth time I've been asked that question.
Right. I never thought of it that way. You're right. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's still crazy, though.
I blew it. I'm not saying that it was like a swing and a huge, huge miss.
Well, you know, life is full of swings and misses, but, you know, if you're into it, I'd love to have you tell the story on elevator shame sometime.
What's that?
I'd love to have you on elevator shame sometime.
What is elevator shame?
It's my podcast.
It's a podcast called Elevator Shame?
Yeah.
What is that?
Well, Elevator Shame is the preeminent podcast for people to share their most shameful, most embarrassing elevator stories.
Their most embarrassing elevator stories?
Yeah.
Like, well, how many elevator stories like mine could there even be?
Oh, there's a lot. You'd be surprised, Tom.
Really?
Oh, yeah. There's a lot of them. And, you know, I'll be honest. Like, 70% of the stories are fart-based, but there are some other really interesting tales that come through our podcast.
Uh-huh. Of embarrassing incidents in elevators.
Yeah.
Like what?
Oh, well, off the top of my head, there was a woman who called in about the time she was a teenager, and she was in an elevator, and you know how kids will do that prank where they'll get in the elevator and they'll push all the buttons.
Mm-hmm.
So there's like 30 stories, and so this elevator stops at every floor now, and everyone who's in it is angry because they have to, you know, their journey is slowed down quite a bit, right?
Sure, yes.
So, so she does that, and then who gets on the elevator on the next floor but Walter Cronkite? Gets on the elevator, and he, of course, is going to the top floor. And so he was furious. He was so mad that she said he was basically grazing on his own mustache the entire time.
Because now this elevator had to stop.
Yep.
At every floor.
Yeah, very angry.
Ugh.
And she was very embarrassed. There was also a very famous film critic who wrote a scathing review of the film On Deadly Ground.
Mm-hmm.
And then he found himself trapped in an elevator with the film star Steven Seagal.
Wow. Oh.
How tough is that, right?
Oh, that's brutal.
It is. And so, of course, somehow Steven realizes who this other person in the elevator is. He was so mad.
Yeah.
He made the critic get down on the elevator floor and clean the elevator floor with his ponytail. Not with his own ponytail, with Seagal's ponytail, which is just weird, isn't it?
He made him clean the elevator with his own ponytail.
Yes, yeah. So then his ponytail gets all grimy. I don't quite understand the logic of it. It must be some kind of Buddhist muscle man thing or something.
Mm, that's really weird.
Yeah. You've seen those statues of the Buddha doing reps on the Delt machine, right? It's the lats machine.
I've never seen. Wait, it's a statue of the Buddha.
Shirtless, yeah.
Uh huh.
Yeah.
Working out.
Yes, yeah. And in most of those things, you know, he's kind of doughy.
Yeah.
You know, those statues,
yeah.
He's doughy.
Sure.
He's cut in this statue I've seen. I can't remember where I saw it.
I've never seen those statues.
If only there was some way to Google that image.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Of a ripped, like, Buddha lat machine?
That sounds like an indie rock band from the early 90s or something, doesn't it?
It sounds like a...
Say it again?
Buddha lat machine.
Buddha lat machine.
Yeah.
Tonight, Buddha lat machine with Boy Dog pondering its limbs.
Yeah, or it sounds like a Pavement B-side.
It does. Hey, speaking of Pavement...
Yeah?
Please tell me you saw that metal show this week. With Geddy Lee.
I did not see it.
Oh, my God. You're in.
Because it came back. That metal show is the program on, what's it, on VH1 Classic.
Classics, yes.
And it's this show.
One of the few shows not in high def currently being made.
Thankfully, though, yes, in a way.
Hey, why do you say that?
Well, I'm not going to. You're right. So it's a show with Eddie Trunk.
Yes.
And two comedians, Don Jameson and Jim Florentine.
Right.
And they talk about metal the whole time.
Yeah.
They had Geddy Lee on, you said?
They did. And they have this thing where it's called Stump the Trunk, something like that, where, you know, Eddie Trunk knows all about metal.
Yeah.
And he's like a trivia whiz.
Mm-hmm.
So at one point, he takes these questions, and in the middle of these, you know, these kind of typical metal questions for Geddy Lee. Geddy Lee's the guest on the show.
Mm-hmm.
This kid gets up there and he says, Eddie, what band wrote this lyric? And he rattles off the line in that Pavement song. What about the voice of Geddy Lee? You know that song?
Yeah. Radio.
Yes. And Eddie Trunk has no idea what it is,
mm-hmm.
Looks over to Geddy Lee and says, do you know what this is, Geddy Lee? He goes, of course I do. Yeah. So there's ultimate humiliation going on.
Because now Eddie Trunk has been shown up.
Yes.
Twice.
So the kid reveals what it is. Eddie, of course, goes, it's a name I've heard. I don't know anything about them. And he goes, but you did win, and I commend you on that. You stumped me. And they had this little box of stuff that, that the winner can reach in and get a prize for stumping the trunk.
Yeah.
And he gets some kind of crummy hat or something. And all the while, the guest musician on this show is the guitar player. His name's John Petrucci. He's the guitar player in Dream Theater.
Uh-huh.
Which is like the new Rush, like times 100 in terms of like technicality.
Sure.
And so they feel bad that this guy got a hat for stumping Eddie Trunk, so John Petrucci gives him his guitar.
No.
So you have... When will this ever happen again on Earth? You have a Pavement reference on that metal show, and as a result of the guy not getting it, the guy from Dream Theater gives the guy his guitar.
Yeah.
Pretty crazy, right?
That is nuts. I can't wait to see that episode.
I feel like I diverged so much from our topic.
Oh, I don't think so.
Really?
I'm glad I heard that. I didn't get to see the first episode of that metal show. Did Jim Florentine have any interesting points to make during it?
Well, you know, he did, but I can't remember what he said. You know, I'd love to. I don't know. What do you think he would have said?
What would Jim Florentine? He probably would have said something like, you know, AC/DC are touring, and the two shows I want to see this summer are AC/DC and Ozzy is going to be out with Black Sabbath, and they're going to be playing shows all year long and touring with Ozzy. The way he says Ozzy makes it like, it's like listening to like that scene in Jaws when he scrapes his hand down the chalkboard.
Oh, and he says this boat needs to be way bigger.
Well, that's not exactly the line, but
he,
that voice, I don't know who you thought he was. It sounded like, that was like Charles Nelson Reilly or something.
Yeah, he says it, doesn't he?
Who?
Charles Nelson Reilly.
No, he's not in Jaws.
Yes, he is.
No, Charles Nelson Reilly is definitely not in Jaws.
He is too.
He's not. He
is too.
Thor, he's not in Jaws.
He is too, and I know he says, we need a way bigger boat.
No, that... Well, we'll research that. I'll research that later in the show.
That's fair enough.
And if you're right, maybe I'll give you something from the prize basket here.
Ooh, you have a prize basket?
Well, not really. I'll figure something out for you, though. But I know I'm not wrong, so sure.
We'll see. Yeah. We'll see about that. Uh-huh. Oh, getting back to my stuff, right?
Yeah, yeah. You were talking all about your podcast.
You forgot about me.
I'm sorry, Thor.
That's okay.
I forgot about we... Got sidetracked. Tell me more about this podcast.
Oh, well, here's another amazing elevator shame story from our archives.
Yeah.
One guy, he's in an elevator, and he drops this big shopping bag that he's got.
Okay.
Spills out all over the floor of the elevator.
Mm-hmm.
Porno mags. Embarrassing enough, right?
Yeah.
He looks up.
Mm-hmm.
Who's standing next to him?
Who?
Pope John Paul II.
Oh.
And his little entourage.
Oh.
Pope John Paul II was appalled, obviously, right?
Sure. Yeah, yeah.
And apparently as he gazed down at the scene before him, Pope John Paul goes something like, De Domini, Spank Magum. Elevatorium de Meducci. I'm not entirely sure what that means. Maybe some of your listeners in Vatican City can translate that, but I'm pretty sure it's some kind of curse that he placed on the man's pant faucet.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, now that I remember it, he actually said pantis faucetus at some point in Latin.
Oh, okay.
Whatever they talk there, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if the Pope was in the business of placing curses on people, but
I thought they did that.
I don't know if that's exactly accurate, but it sounds like he was saying something about the porno magazines all over the elevator.
Yeah, but he also said this. The guy said that the Pope's eyes definitely lingered on one particular magazine that was on the floor.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, I can't describe one iota of what's in the magazine.
Okay, good, good.
Because of certain restrictions on the radio.
Sure, yeah.
And also air, just air.
To be said over actual air.
Yeah.
Not the atmosphere. Air. Like air.
The atmosphere.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I'm glad you're not. I really don't want to hear anything about this magazine.
Well, I got a really bad one that happened to me.
In an elevator?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, can you tell it?
Well, I was in Miami about 10 years ago, and I get in an elevator. Who gets in after me?
Who?
Barry Gibb.
From the
the world famous Bee Gees.
Sure. From the
Bee Gees. Bo Gibb, yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. So I'm really nervous, just like you were with Patti Smith.
Mm-hmm.
But I want to make a connection, of course, you know,
sure.
Like you did.
Yeah, yeah.
So I go, hey, Barry Gibb, because that's how you address an FT. You have to do it by their full name. That's like rule number one of FT interaction, right?
FP interaction? FP is...
Famous person.
Famous person, yeah.
Yeah. And I get his attention, and I go, you know, there's a song of yours that I love, but I can't remember what album it's on.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes, oh, how does the song go? So I start singing, girl, you're out of your mind, bitch, if you think you're getting half of my stuff.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
And he looks at me like I'm crazy.
Sure.
And I go, I'll sing it again if you want. And he goes, no, please don't. But I go, girl, you're out of your mind, bitch, if you think you're getting half of my stuff. And he is, like, climbing the walls of this thing.
Sure.
And I go, it's on Children of the World, right?
A Bee Gees album.
Yes, and he pushes the button for the very next floor just so he can get the F out of there.
Uh-huh.
So he just, like, he bolts out of there. And it turns out it was a song I wrote when I was getting divorced from my fourth wife. Let's just call her Sheila L., okay?
Okay.
Somehow I got the songs confused.
Sure.
It was very embarrassing.
That's extremely embarrassing.
Yeah.
That's really... So these are the kind of things that happen on your show.
Yeah. I've had a couple more, too, that are pretty, pretty cringy.
Uh-huh. Well, I mean, could you... I'd love to hear some, but I don't know if they're too embarrassing.
Well, Tom, that's all part of what elevator shame is, telling one story.
Okay.
We're storytellers, Tom.
Oh, okay. I never thought of it as storytelling, but...
Oh, yeah.
Like, what happened?
Well, off the top of my head, let's see. I spilled ink on a woman's wedding gown. I set a kid's rat tail on fire. He was a rat kid, too. He had these weird fangs in the front of his face. Very sick. I threw up on two surgeons who were on their way to perform brain surgery. I accidentally glued my hand to Joe Namath's neck. I let off three fire extinguishers in an elevator full of people on their way to a funeral. I spilled a vat of tepid cooking oil on Ranking Roger's rollerblades. What else? My jean shorts fell down while I was talking to Reese Witherspoon, exposing my naked wimple. I broke both the wheels on Stephen Hawking's wheelchair. I got into a fist fight with Jim Florentino for who was better, Sabbath, Ozzy, version or Dio version.
Mm-hmm.
What else? Oh, I mistook Vern Troyer for a doll. Things like that.
Oh, yeah. Those are insane. That's, what did you say about Joe Namath? You glued your hand to his neck?
I accidentally, glued my hand to his neck. That's correct, sir.
You don't have to call me sir. Thor.
Well, you command respect. I mean, you do have the ear of a nation.
Well, I guess, you know, that's a fair point, but yeah.
Well, but to answer your question, yes, I did glue my hand to Joe Namath's neck.
Uh-huh.
And can you imagine how upset and confused he was?
With your hand glued to his neck.
His neck. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, well, yeah, I can only imagine.
What do you think he might have said when he realized my hand was glued to his neck?
What do I think he said?
Yeah, yeah.
If I had to guess? I don't know, probably just like, you know, it's kind of strange that you've glued your hand to my neck. Now we're on this elevator together, and your hand is glued to I don't know how we're supposed to leave this elevator with your hand glued to my neck.
That is like 98% verbatim what he said.
Uh-huh.
I say I'm a little freaked out. What kind of sorcery dost thou engage in?
Why? Because I guessed what he would say. That's not. I'm not a sorcerer, but it's not that. That's not. Yeah, that was not that hard to guess. You also. Yeah, you also mentioned Jim Florentine.
Yeah, he took off his five finger death punch shirt and started whipping my semi closed haunches with it.
Uh huh. Which is weird because Were you going into the elevator because you were a fan of his? Like I did with the Patti Smith thing?
Yes.
Yeah. That might be mistake number one with these.
I think so. But can you imagine what our argument was like? I wanted to have a conversation, so I just started. I brought up the Black Sabbath thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I go, hey, Jim, I think Dio blew Ozzy out of the water.
Uh-huh.
Heaven and hell and Mob Rules kick ass on any of that stuff.
So you said that to him?
I did. What do you think he said?
He must have said something along the lines of, well, that's just crazy that you'd say Dio would be better than Ozzy because, look, I love Dio. I love all of his stuff, Last in Line. I'm a huge Dio fan, and Dio, rest in peace. But there's no way that Dio touches Ozzy in any way, because you're talking about Volume 4, you're talking about Paranoid, you're talking about Never Say Die, you're talking about Technical Ecstasy. There's no way that Ozzy is anywhere near Dio. Ozzy outranks Dio so much higher on the list of Black Sabbath lead singers.
I do think you're a sorcerer. I don't like it. That's exactly what he said.
Well, okay, that's not that hard. You said you argued, so yeah. I'm just replicating what I would think he would say.
Well, okay. Well, it's still something. I don't know. I don't know. It puts me at dis-ease. That's a lack of ease. Unease.
Okay.
I don't like it. Yeah, but...
No, it's not any... Yeah. I didn't mean anything by it.
Well, okay. Hey, you know, I gotta say, I do have an ulterior motor for calling.
You have a what?
An ulterior motor.
And all a
ulterior motive.
Motive.
Ulterior motor.
All ulterior motive.
No, what?
That's the phrase is ulterior motive.
No, it's not.
That's what you mean to say. Yes, it is.
No, it's an ulterior motor. You never heard this before?
An ulterior motor.
Yeah.
No.
Oh, yeah. Back in the golden age of mini bikes.
Yeah.
The most expensive motors were made from freshly shorn fur of purebred terriers?
Ew. That's sick.
No, it's not. No, the terriers weren't hurt at all. They were just shorn. That's where that phrase, no terriers were harmed in the making of this mini bike, often runs at the end of movies that you see in the theater.
No terrier. I don't even know. That's the craziest thing I've ever heard. No terriers were harmed in the making of this mini bike.
Yeah.
Is that in like the credits on movies?
Most movies that have animals
I've
in them.
Never, yeah. No, that's the dumbest thing I've heard on about 100 different levels.
Maybe you're the dumbest thing I've heard on 100 different levels.
Uh-huh. Well, then we would be even, I guess.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Well, you know, I gotta just say, it's like, I did the Patti Smith thing.
Right.
That was like a once in a lifetime kind of thing for me. But you just rolled off 15 things easily that you did, and There is a difference between your situation and my situation. Mine is like a genuine kind of weird, fluky, dumb moment, but yours seem like they are planned or have some sort of purpose behind them.
Okay. My elevator incidents aren't as spontaneous as I portrayed them to be.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, that's why I actually wanted to talk to you.
Okay.
Yeah.
What did you want to talk about?
Well, you see, the Shout Network has picked up Elevator Shame for their fall lineup.
Elevator, the show, they picked up.
It's going to be a show.
Okay, like a TV show.
Exactly, yeah. Uh-huh. And I want you to be the face and the voice of Elevator Shame.
Hmm.
It's pretty cool, right?
Yeah. I thought this is not what I expected on this, you know, this conversation of ours here. And that actually, I have to say, sounds like it could be a kind of a good fit. You know, to be honest, not to sound braggy, but I have been hoping to get my face out there a little more. And, you know, yeah, I feel like after having done this radio show for so long that, yeah, I could see myself hosting a TV show. I think at this point I could do a pretty good job doing that.
Hosting? What kind of delusional half-animal part-party machine are you? You've got to be kidding me.
Whoa, what's that? What? I don't know. You asked me about hosting the thing, and I thought you did. And I mean, what do you want me to do then on it? Like voiceover stuff or something?
Now I'm wondering if I'm getting pranked. Are you pranking me?
No, I'm not pranking you. You asked me about being on this show, so I'm...
No, see, you wouldn't be doing any of the hosting or doing any of the voiceovers. You'd be you'd be the straight up ARB.
The ARB?
Yeah.
What is an ARB?
Assistant Release Boy.
What is the Assistant Release Boy?
Well, you would be in charge of catching up to my angry prank victims after they exit the elevator after I prank them,
mm-hmm.
and then securing their signatures on release form so their images could be shown in our show.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that. So I would be the first. Yeah, they're furious now.
Right.
I'm the first person they see. My face is the first face they see after they've just been humiliated, and then I've got to kind of plead with celebrities or who just to get them to sign releases to appear on the show.
Well, yeah, you'd be doing that, but you'd also be in charge of other very, very important tasks.
Uh-huh.
Too.
Like what?
Like maintaining your clipboard and keeping the hinges of the clipboard oiled and, you know, clipboard calibration, things like that. Things that are very important to the show.
Oh, they sound very, that sounds very important.
Oh, and don't worry, it's a paid internship.
What?
Well, you won't have to pay an arm and a leg to do this. I know high school students don't have a ton of money, but believe me, this thing is going to look great on your college transcripts.
Wait, what do you mean by my college transcripts?
Yeah, for when you apply to college.
Uh-huh. Well, I'm an adult, Thor. I mean, I'm not a college student.
What, are you 18 now?
No, I'm in my 40s now, and I'm not looking to do, I don't have a college I'm not in college. I don't need anything like that, and it's just not where I'm at all in life.
Wait, this isn't a high school radio station?
No, this is not a high school radio station.
Okay, is it a high school CB radio network?
No, it's not a high school anything.
Oh.
No, it's not a high school. It's a real show we're doing that's on the internet that streams and it goes up as a podcast also.
Oh, I see. Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, you know, well, forget about it. Uh-huh. I just got a text from our producer, and he says He just hired, oh, wow, this is great. He just hired an industry vet named Mike.
Mm-hmm.
And he has a cool nickname. He says that they call him the Chiku Kid.
Okay. Uh-huh.
He's supposed to have crotch marbles of steel.
Mm-hmm. Well, that let me know how that goes.
Oh, wow. It says, he once asked General Petraeus if he sold puppies. I don't know what that means, but what a wild thing to ask a general, right?
It's pretty out there. Yeah. Yeah.
Sure is. Oh, no. Ugh.
What is that?
I'm in an elevator right now.
You're in an elevator. Was that just... Okay, there's...
This elevator has two horns.
An elevator has... Oh, that was really strange. The elevator had two horns. An elevator had one horn. I don't know what's going on with anything anymore. You know what I do know what's going on, though? I do know that this Unblinking Ear collection is still available. I do know that on March 6th, my bro, who's running the label, Paul Bruno, he still has a show at Lot 13 in Bayonne, Saturday, March 7th, for the label. You can go over to unblinkingearrecords.bandcamp.com, get this amazing comp called Serious Rockers. Such a good collection. And definitely worth picking up. And I'm going to play even something else from it. Here are the Go-To-Beds. Everybody. Yeah, that was the Go-To-Beds. One of the many songs. Well, the greatest, I think, 28 cuts on this comp. And this is not a commercial. I'm just playing this stuff because I like this record so much. And so we might as well showcase it for the night. Go-To-Beds, that was Glass House. By them, the collection's called Serious Rockers, an Unblinking Ear mixtape, and you can always go, you go over to unblinkingearrecords.bandcamp.com and you can download it. And I think the label head put up some sort of, a code Best Show, which gives you a little discount on it, so you can check that out. Playing some stuff by a friend, not an ad. The phone number, 201-332-3484. Lines were all open. Looks like they're filled up again. So let's go back to the hot phones. Who's good here, Mike? Three. Best Show, you're on the air.
Hey, Tom, how's it going?
It's going all right. Who's this?
This is Josh calling from Elizabeth.
Josh from Elizabeth. What's up, Josh?
Not much. I got a question.
Elizabeth, New Jersey, for people who don't know.
The crown jewel, if you will.
It's out, IKEA. You got IKEA.
We got a Wawa now.
You got a Wawa.
We got a Sonic, I think, too.
You got a Sonic. Whoa, who would even leave Elizabeth at this point?
I know.
Why leave?
I leave sometimes.
Why leave? Why, you want to see a tree maybe? Sure, then you leave. If you want to see what a tree looks like, then maybe you head out.
One day.
One day you'll head out. So what's going on tonight, buddy?
All right, so I got a question for you that I've been thinking about for a while, and I've decided to finally bring it to the table.
Let's hear it.
All right, so imagine this. It's a wrestling ring, completely empty. Lights come on. In one corner, you have Chris Gethard and the Gregulator. The other corner, Kurt Vile, Gentleman. Who do you think comes out on top?
Well, that is an interesting question. Well, that, jeepers creepers, let's think this through. Kurt Vile and Jell-O Man, his brother,
yep, mm-hmm,
squaring off against
Chris Gethard
and his brother Greg.
Yep.
Gregulator. I might go with, I think I'm going to go with the Gethard brothers, just because I picture Kurt just being like, why am I doing this? And just being like, yeah, I'm not here to fight. The other three would be totally into it.
I feel like both Gethard brothers are, they fight dirty, especially the Gregulator.
Look, the Gregulator, that is a, I would not want to be against him thinking he's a wrestler. Could you imagine what that would be like? Oh, that would be horrifying, seeing that guy fully in a ring, being validated now, thinking it's wrestling time.
Because, you know, the thing...
What?
Oh, no.
No, you'd be like, because the thing is, when you got to... I'm not going to do an impression of the Gregulator.
I thought you were doing Spike for a second there, too.
No, I wasn't. Sorry. It just that was my Gregulator impression, which I've never done before, and now he's at home sad that he thinks I think he sounds like that. But I don't. He's got a voice like an angel. It's like an angel. Like an angel. Right?
Oh, absolutely. It is angelic.
It is. It's like Angel from Rockford Files. Remember Angel? Hey, Jimmy, what's going on? Here's the plan, Jimmy. Okay. You got to help me out, Jimmy. Angel was always getting into mischief on that show. Aw, hell, Angel, what's going on here? You got to fix this again.
Jimmy, no, it's not bad. It's a thing. Here's the deal, Jimmy.
Thanks, buddy.
All right, thank you. Bye-bye.
You have a great night. Got 35 or so minutes left in the show. You know, Pat Byrne, who works on the show, he's also a WFMU DJ, and he does live shows at their space, at WFMU space, and it's called Prove It All Night, the name of his show, and he's doing another installment this Saturday night, February 28th. And on the bill, he's got, how about this? It's like a who's who. Jake Fugelnest will be there. Christy Cello and Julio Torres is going to be there. But get this, music from Sunshine and the Rain, who we played earlier, who are on the Serious Rockers comp. It all comes together. It feels like I'm in the movie JFK or something, making connections on a board or a beautiful mind, drawing the things on the thing in his head in the garage. Remember that? When he's in that garage? I did not watch 1 minute of the Oscars, by the way. I don't know who won the awards, and I'm completely fine not knowing that. I don't know who won the awards.
I don't care about awards anymore. I ain't getting none. I ain't getting none. No awards. Then I'll start caring about awards. Let me get nominated for a couple of them. Then you'll see me start to have a little room for other awards. I can't right now. No tolerance for it. You know what I think I'm going to do? I think I'm going to... So anyway, yeah, Prove It All Night this Saturday over at WFMU's Monty Hall, 43 Montgomery Street in Jersey City, 9 p.m., $5 to get in. Jake Fugelnest, Christy Cello, Julio Torres, Sunshine in the Rain, hosted by Pat Byrne. Definitely check that show out if you're in Jersey City. And I've been thinking about this for a while. I feel like, and this is kind of the time for me to do it. And look, maybe I'm going to fold on this and 2 days later it won't even track. But it kind of feels also like a good time to, because I was talking earlier that I'm going to, I wrote a thing over at sharpling.com just about getting a little, allowing myself to get a little bit of space here with the things I'm kind of dealing with in my regular life, like the like just dealing with the death of my father and grandmother and all these things, and just letting myself not feel the heat the way I maybe have not let myself feel it. It might be I gotta face the music a little bit, so. I'm tired. I'm a little tired. So what I'm going to do is just take it on a week-by-week basis. If I take a week off from the show, I take a week off. If I take a couple weeks off, then I take a couple weeks off. We'll figure it all out. I got stuff to work on, and I'm gonna work on it. Take it as it comes. So that's what I'm going to be doing. But one thing I think could go hand in hand with that, which I'm going to try, is definitely kind of getting off social media a lot more than I have been on it. I think I need to get off of it. Just click all that down. Because, yeah, you know, you think about it. It's like, you know, especially in the face of all the things I've been thinking about, it's like you have a certain amount of time to be alive, and then you have even a shorter amount of time if you're still, if you like have creative things you want to do, and you have, while you're still have things to offer, and you're not basically... like you're not like a clogged toilet like Garrison Keillor just in the way. When you still have things to do that are still vital to kind of give it away in like to just to just be caught up in all chipping away at whatever creative energy you do have, and it's a finite amount, to be on Twitter too much, I don't think is a great thing. I think you end up denying yourself the chance to do some real just deeper thinking and just working on things on a fuller level, I guess is what I'm trying to say here. So I think there's something there that I need to, cause you know, you think about it. It's like, is like Will Ferrell not on Twitter? Tina Fey's not on Twitter. Paul Thomas Anderson's not on Twitter. It's Dave Chappelle. Dave Chappelle's not on Twitter. I'm almost positive. No. I don't think Meryl Streep is on Twitter. Larry David is not on Twitter. Like, people who kind of do... there's a point where it's all in balance. And I just don't... I think I need to kind of... I want to do some bigger things, and I maybe don't want to... I want to break some patterns and kind of not let that be where I'm kind of burning my creative energy one tweet at a time. And this has been this is something I've thought about for a long time. And I feel like I'm going to see how that goes. Who knows? 2 days from now, I'll probably be on there live tweeting, an episode of Family Guy.
Hashtag Family Guy sucks. The dog is going in the thing and he's yelling at the baby. Hashtag Family Guy sucks. Like, 2 days from now, I'll be doing that. It's like, wow, there was a noble stand and completely mooted within 48 hours. But it's something I think I do need to try. So I'm going to try that, see what that means to me or doesn't mean. And, we'll see. I quit Facebook. Twitter's going to be clicked way back. I got some things I want to do here. I want to, both in terms of kind of taking care of myself and in terms of trying to get some real work done here. Look, I'll be on Twitter during the show. I don't care, man. That's what it's for. It's a nice accompaniment to the show. We can track, we can see how Billy Joel, hashtag Billy Joel Arsonist is trending, which is tonight's hashtag for the show, because everybody knows that Billy Joel, he lights up Madison Square Garden once a month now. So that's why he's an arsonist. That's why it's just hitting me now how that could be read two different ways. Oh no. Mike, did you know that? Billy Joel arsonist, that somebody could take that differently? I just realized that. That is, Mr. Joel, I apologize, Mr. Joel. This is not how it was meant, that hashtag was meant to look. I didn't mean it, sir. Please, Mr. Joel. I plan on seeing your concert at Madison Square Garden in April of 2017. When by that point you're just playing your... By that point, he'll just be... All right, what do you people want to hear? Big Shot? All right. Bam, bam, na, 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 na. Bam, bam. Bam, bam, na, 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 na. So, yeah, so I'm going to pull back on social media just see what goes on. Yeah, Meryl Streep. Can you imagine Meryl Streep on Twitter? On the set of... What's she on the set of? What's a Meryl Streep movie, Mike? Sophie's Choice, yes. On the set of Sophie's Choice. Heavy stuff, hashtag. Sad movie. Now, I gotta... Tommy wants to do some... Tommy's head hurts, and Tommy also wants to do some big things. So, Tommy ain't giving it away on Twitter anymore. It don't speak to me right now. So, yeah. It's fun to be on during the show. Sure, I agree. But it'd be nice to watch a movie without being, having to say what I think of Big Eyes as I'm watching it. Like,
I didn't always watch movies like that. I don't remember seeing Pulp Fiction with a second screen in front of me and commenting on it. I would have said in it, if I did, I would have said, John Travolta's dead already. Or I would have said, I know Samuel L. Jackson lives past this scene. I'm not worried about him right now. That's what I would have said. I'm not worried about him in this standoff in the diner. Which is kind of like what it's like watching Better Call Saul, where you know that, like, he's never going to die in any of these scenes, right? Like, he could have a machine gun pointed at his head. I'm going to kill you, Saul. Nothing's going to happen to him. They should just do the craziest things on that show with him now, where he should be like, like doing like stunts on airplanes and things, and like eating like poison and stuff. But you just know he's never gonna die because he needs to be alive for all of Breaking Bad. Have you watched that yet, Mike? Mike saw 2 episodes. Did you like it? Mike didn't like the scene in the desert. Why not? Not a big Tuco fan? You don't like guys like Tuco. You don't like Tuco. You don't like Dom. You don't like guys with shaved heads. Picking up on a thing with Mike. Mike likes a shaggy head. Mike don't like shaved heads. Don't like Tuco. Don't like Dom. That would be the greatest thing if Tuco and Dom teamed up. What do you think of that show, Mike? Hey, boys, you need some help? Like Dom pulls up in New Mexico. Be like, what's going on, boys? I'm trying to sell meth. Tuco and Dom, I said I needed to think of bigger things. This might not be one of them, all right? I'm rusty. What do you want? I've been tweeting my life away. This is why I need to get off Twitter. My thoughts are... I'm capping out, guys. The Tuco and Dom thing, not my finest moment. I'll admit it. Who'd you rather be handcuffed to, Mike? Tuco or Dom? Who? Dom. Mike says Dom. Fair enough. Oh, speaking of Mike, a package showed up. Mike brings this in last week. He says, hey, a package showed up at Mass's addressed to you. Oh, my God. Unbelievable. A package from Canada shows up addressed to me, care of AP Mike, at Masses. I cannot believe this reached its destination. This had every possible way. Because first of all, I'm not going to besmirch the patrons of Masses. I don't know what the deal is. I don't know what the deal is here with the patrons. They seem like perfectly fine guys, right? Like, I'm saying that maybe if a package shows up on the wrong day, it doesn't stay there until Mike gets there. And they don't know him as AP Mike. So this package shows up. From Canada, too. International. I have not opened it yet. Now I'm going to open it. I'm going to reach. Should I reach in on this? This could be like... Ah! Like something jumps. All of a sudden, oh, my hand! Like a mouse trap. Sent all the way from Canada. Like I reach my hand in, and a mouse trap snaps it. Okay. Well, it says on the description, 10 collector cards. Well, these are not collector cards in here. But what is in here? You sure you didn't open this and repackage it, Mike? There's a Donkey Kong Jr. mini game, which I guess you play on your keychain. You put it on your keychain or something? Well, how about that? I'm off Twitter. I'm going to be playing this dumb Donkey Kong Jr. game all day long. Well, I showed them. I got off social media. I'm showing them how to live life. Huh, Donkey Kong Jr.? Me and you were showing them how not to fall prey to the perils of social media. Now let me press these buttons so you can go get that banana. Who's good here, Mike? Best show, you're on the air.
Hey, Tom, this is Ben from Burbank.
Ben from Burbank. What's up, Ben?
Not a heck of a lot. I had two stories from last week's topic. I was a little nervous, but then Thor brought it back. Two things I wish I could take back.
Oh.
One with Steve Martin and one with Jonah Hill, if you have a preference.
I want to hear the Jonah Hill story to start.
Okay. So I do some acting here, and I was at an audition on a movie studio lot, which happens from time to time. And I was waiting, standing around waiting until it was my turn to go, and I noticed about 10, 20 yards away is Jonah Hill. And so I thought, well, this, you know, should I say something?
You're an extra in this production?
I'm sorry?
You were an extra, or what were you? What was your job?
No, I was auditioning for a TV show that just happened to be on the same lot as whatever he was doing at the time.
Sure, sure.
So I'm a fan of his. I like him. I thought this would be an opportunity to say something. So I walked over there, and I bear a bit of a physical resemblance to Jonah Hill. I'm sort of a portly fella.
Don't like where this is going already.
I walk up to Jonah Hill. He's just kind of standing there with one or two other people, maybe. And I said,
people.
Jonah, I'm about to go in and audition for this TV show. Do you want to go in and do the audition for me? It might really blow their minds. And he said,
10 minutes later, he's in there doing it.
What's that?
10 minutes later, he's in the room doing the audition. Everyone's cracking up. And then he says, actually, I'm not up for the job, though, but my friend here is.
Oh, wait, so you've heard this story?
No, go ahead. So what happened?
He said, no, I'm okay. And that was the end of the interaction. And I sort of slunk away, and I thought, man, I wish I could take that back.
Yeah, I wish you could, too.
It was painful. He was very nice about it. He was not a jerk in any way, but it was...
He's working.
Yeah, yes, he is.
Yeah.
And so he doesn't need to be here.
What's the
me.
Steve Martin one? What's the Steve Martin one?
The Steve Martin one was a couple years back. He was at the New Yorker Festival when his book came out, and he was being interviewed at like an Evening with Steve Martin kind of thing. And it was at sort of a smallish venue in Manhattan. And so I was there with my wife, and we were waiting for the show to start. And I thought, I'm just going to run and use the bathroom. And I went over to where the bathrooms were, and he was just kind of standing there with maybe two or three other people. Steve Martin, who was a huge hero of mine forever.
Mm-hmm. Until this night.
So I thought, well, there's, it's not like a mob scene.
Before you tell me what happened, is he still currently your hero?
Yes.
Okay.
Because this is 1,000% on me.
So it's like a Better Call Saul situation. I know Steve Martin gets out of this all right.
Yes, exactly. Yes. He went on to do pretty well, I think.
So go ahead. So you go up to him.
I go up to him. He's kind of, a couple of other people that look like sort of oddballs are talking to him. And so I thought, I'll join this group. And they seem a little weird, these two guys, and they're kind of chatting them up about guitars and banjos, and I was sort of thinking, kind of standing there rolling my eyes a little bit, oh boy, when are these guys going to wrap it up? they say, hey, can we take a picture with you? And he says, oh, sure. And so the guy, I offer to actually take the photograph and take the picture of him with these two guys. They kind of go on their way. Before I can say a word, Steve Martin makes about 1 second of eye contact with me and then turns and walks away.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there is an epilogue to this story. Upstairs, in the event, we get to the Q&A part, and one of these guys stands up and asks a question. And I thought, oh, geez, this wacko, this guy, he seems odd, and what's he going to say? And he asks his question, and from the stage, Steve says, by the way, for those of you who don't know, this gentleman is Dick Dale.
So you were just me. Dick Dale is talking about guitars and things and banjos and whatnot. And you're, meanwhile, they're like, oh, when's this guy going to stop?
Yep. I may have actually made those noises. I thought, there was exactly one weirdo oddball in this group, and it was me. Mm-hmm. And I had no idea.
Wow. You know what I would do? I would have the Patti Smith thing happen to me twice to take one of those away from you. Thanks for the call.
That's true.
Best Show, you're on the air.
Hi, Tom.
Hi, who's this?
This is Callie in Manhattan.
Callie in Manhattan. What's going on tonight, Callie?
Not much.
Callie Flower.
Yes. Mm. I do use that many places.
Yes. That is your, the name with which you move through what? Not through the night, through the darkness of social media.
Yes.
Yes, that's the way to put it. Very poetic,
it
if I dare say.
Nice and safe.
Yes. How are you tonight?
I'm well. First off, happy birthday to Terry.
Oh, yeah. She said thank you. She's going to be on the Half Hour of Power, and we're going to do that. For people who don't know, this Half Hour Power thing we've been doing, it starts after the show. A few minutes after the Best Show ends, the Half Hour of Power begins, and it consists of us taking unscreened calls. So everybody, a few minutes after midnight, should call 201-332-3484, and you can just call, and we will talk to you about whatever we want to talk about, and it's fun and random, but it doesn't air live. It goes up as a podcast on Friday. So, yes, that will be happening, and Terry will be on that.
So, yay.
That is
the other.
It's the birthday present I bought her. That's the present I bought her for her birthday. I bought her a chair to sit in on the Half Hour of Power. Yes, I know. It's very generous. You can't believe I went that far to do it, but that's just the kind of person I am. I actually bought her a presence on a free radio podcast.
Yay.
Speaking of podcasts, somebody has a podcast on the phone. Both people on this phone call have their own shows.
That's true. Yours is much more professional than mine.
Well, then I'm terrified to hear what you're up to. Then, if this is much more professional, the only thing, you must be talking into Dixie cups then, or something. Because what is the name of your show, Callie?
The show that I do with Sarah Sahim, another fat lady, is called Not All Women.
Okay,
and we talk about various issues that are important to a bunch of women, and it's predominantly intersectional feminism, but I don't really think I should spend time going into this.
Okay, well, I asked you what the show was, and that's, it's not like I'm going to start playing sound effects like boring underneath you. It's like I asked, and you're answering.
But, yeah, we talk about things that are important to women of color, queer women, trans women, women of different economic classes, just a whole bunch of things. And we thought we'd just be listened to by 50 people, but we're getting a little bit more than that. So.
Okay. I love it. I love it. Congratulations on the rocket-like ascendance of this, now leaving me and this show in your fumes.
Honestly, it was ridiculous. If anyone thinks that it's ridiculous how quickly we got our deal, they are completely right.
Because you're going up, 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 and I'm going down, down, down.
Aww.
Oh, I'm kidding. I'm just kidding. No, but you actually got a deal for your show. Is that something you can talk about?
CBS, CBS Radio, they started a podcast network.
Mm-hmm.
And they invited us on before they launched, and for some reason, now Sarah and I are on the same podcast network as Mike Francesa, John Madden, Jim Rome, Danny Bonaducci.
It's like, well, look, you're there with Danny Bonaducci, you're there with Mike Francesa. It's really, it sounds like a perfect fit.
It really is.
Who I could have called that from a mile away. It's like, well, the way you're talking about your show, I think you might. Maybe you should approach this. Maybe you should approach Jim Rome and see if he can help get you on the network. No, but you know what that is? They're just diversifying because it sounds like those other shows are the same exact show. And you're not going to badmouth people on your network. I can do it. I'm not on the network. My phone didn't ring. Nobody at CBS is calling me. I get to CB. I guess my phone. They lost my number somewhere here when they were making their calls for their network. They're like, that guy's got his thing figured out. So I think it's very exciting, and it's especially if you're saying what you're saying with that those are the other shows, then it's good that there's a little bit of range there in the scheme of who's on that network. So. Congratulations.
Aw, thank you.
And when can people hear the show? Like, where do they go?
You can get it on iTunes. Like, your previous guest, Turtle, mentioned, like, his guest. The show's on iTunes. Our show is also on iTunes.
Sure.
We're on the Play.it network. Mm-hmm. You can go to the Play.it website and look at them there.
Look, I know you didn't call to start making plugs. That was not why you called. What made you call tonight, Kelly?
Well, you know that I moved here recently.
Yes.
And most of my trips here to New York have just been in Manhattan. So for me, like the Bronx and the Queens and Brooklyn are sort of scary to me because they're still out there. But I feel like I'm going to get used to Brooklyn. I went there a few times. It still felt weird and scary to me, but I was doing a recording for another person's show, and that makes me sound like I'm way bigger than I am, but I was doing a recording for someone else's show, and that's in Brooklyn. It's like, all right, I can go in by myself. It'll be great. I'll get used to this, because Brooklyn can be a really nice place. So
sure.
I take the train over. I get out, and I start walking. And within a minute of getting out, there's a man crossing the street holding flowers, and a van drives up and hits him.
Mm-hmm.
So that's horrifying. And then he starts yelling at them, the drivers of the car. So then they get out, and then they all start fighting, and it's getting more and more horrifying. And there's a big crowd also starting to gather. And then the people who hit him decided to get back in their vehicle. And he was upset with this, so he followed them back and started leaning in so he could yell at them some more. And then they just started driving off with him hanging out of the car.
Ugh.
And it lasted for like a block and a half.
That's horrible. Are you sure you didn't witness like this wasn't a filming. They weren't filming a TV show at the time because it sounds like this does not sound real. Look, you heard me. I don't know if you heard me tell the story of the bat. I saw two dudes hitting each other with a bat.
Yeah,
that was like a chicken scratch compared to the story you just told.
It was the most horrifying thing. I can't believe it happened. And we were all watching, and then we saw him apparently get frustrated with hanging on to them.
Mm-hmm.
And then he just let go, and then he started jogging back to where he was, and he had this big smile on his face.
Ugh.
And
I don't know.
I have no idea what happened.
Yes.
It was the weirdest thing, and...
Welcome to Brooklyn! And then you're just like, yes, I'm never leaving Manhattan again. It can be...
I'll try to not hold it against all of Brooklyn.
No, look. Nobody, you go
terrifying.
To... Where you were from, New England, right? Before you lived in New England?
Yeah, I was in a village of 1,500 people.
That makes it sound like a village of 50. It sounds like the movie where Nicolas Cage had the bees on his head. What was that movie? Wicker Man. And I'm sure everybody, all the horror fans out there love that. That's when I think of Wicker Man, I think of, first of all, I think of the remake first. I don't even think of the horror classic with Christopher Lee. And I describe it as the movie where Nicolas Cage has the bees on his head. Did you ever see that scene though, where he's like, no, no. They put like a bee, like a box of bees over his head.
Well, it's an important scene in the movie.
Well, yes, but you describe it like a village of 1,500 people. It makes it sound like if a stranger came through, you all like you all made sure that they didn't leave the town or something. Something we can help you with?
It was kind of weird where they insisted on a pair of swans living in a pond in a park in the middle of the town. Like on the Canadian border, there was just this little village, and they insisted on having a pair of swans there for like 30 years.
Just a pair of swans as like a message. Was it like a message just like that this town is a fun, peaceful town, and then, but don't mess with the swans? I don't know what were they? Were they the same swans, or did they switch them out like the kids on Full House?
I'm going to say it was Full Housey.
Okay. Kind of like, switch the swans, this one swan getting a little... One swan's looking a little lifeless. Let's swap that swan. And then there's just like a giant barn full of swans that they're rotating in and out to put some kind of message on the town.
There are enough barns in the area that could actually be the way it worked.
Well, Callie, unfortunately, it is now midnight, the witching hour. I have three. I have to burn through all these calls and then set up for the half hour of power.
So I will definitely download.
Which you will definitely download. Which everybody should download on Friday.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we will do that. So people, again, can check your podcast out over at iTunes, which sounds like... That's like saying check it out at, like it's like go outside and get it. Like, everything is on iTunes, but it's a part of what network again? The CBS has a podcast network called...
Play.it.
Play.it, and the name of your show again is...
Not All Women. All
right, so people should check it out, and when you're just looking down from your rapid ascendance, just remember the people way down there on the ground who... It's like the right stuff. Some people get to go to this, do the sound barrier. Other people are just on the ground cheering you on. When they get to drive a car fast on the street. It's very, you know, I'm teasing. So, all right. Thanks
a
lot.
Thank you very much for insisting on plugging the show.
Yes,
that was
of course.
Very sweet of you. Yeah, well, I didn't want to come on and just try and plug.
I know. That's not why you're calling. I know that.
Yeah.
It's not. Look, Mike told me it was a good call.
Uh-huh.
All right. Thanks, Callie. I'll talk to you soon.
Night.
All right. All right. We got three more lines, so people just know. I'm going to take these calls, and then we will be doing the half hour of power, a few minutes after, in a few minutes, we'll be doing it. But I'm going to wrap up here. Best show, you're on the air.
Ah, hi. Hey, Tommy. This is Brian in Los Angeles.
What did you just call me?
I'm sorry. I called you Tommy.
Best show, you're on the air.
Hi, Tom.
Hi. Who's this?
This is Paul from Brooklyn.
You're right there. You're a little out of breath.
I'm a little bit nervous, I guess.
No, relax. Relax.
I just realized it was midnight, so I'm probably two weeks late with something for last week's topic.
Well, what do you got, buddy? What do you got?
So years ago, I ended up at a dinner with Thurston Moore, and my lady friend at the time was playing a show with him, and I was kind of the only one at the table that didn't know him. Mm-hmm. So I'm at a hole-in-the-wall burrito place, and I'm kind of the only one who has nothing to say, and he's telling this.
What is that in the background?
I don't know.
I don't like it. Goodbye. These calls can all stay live for the half-hour power. Guys, I want you all to know this. Thank you for listening, and thank you for everybody getting behind the show and everybody getting behind me with all the things that I'm trying to process and deal with and go through and move on from. And it's not easy. And knowing you guys care about the show and care about me does make it a little easier. So thank you for everything. And I'm pretty much just going to play this on a week-by-week basis for a while, and we'll see how I'm doing. I just have to, I got things to take care of. So I wish I could do the show every week without fail and just knew that this was going to be just time to really just barrel forward and just go for it. But you don't always get to say how things go in life, and that's kind of how it goes. But what we can do is just hang on and focus on the future, and yeah, thank you. I really appreciate it, everybody. I will talk to you all. Yeah, look, hopefully this is just a blip, and it don't mean nothing in the scheme of things. But I have to just afford myself the chance to figure out what I need to do here. That's all. So that's what I'm going to do. And now, why not end the show with one more song from the collection Serious Rockers, which you can get over at unblinkingearrecords.bandcamp.com. We're going to hear something from Curbivore, and everybody call up for the half hour power and get in on that. Now, let's take a listen to this, and I will talk to you all soon.